Jenna gave me the impression.
I know. I just said spurry.
Let the record show.
Ready to repeat the tie thing?
Go ahead, Brendan.
I was not at the meeting in the death of the family, so we were out of town. So I could just remove my hand from that. Oh, unavailable at 10? You got it. I didn't think I got my message to you fast enough. Sorry, Mike.
You got it.
Lickety-split. I reject my...
You withdraw your objection to... You don't want us to reverse you from not being here to be...
Reversal is a reversal.
I got it. Hasty read. Myself.
Any other corrections, concerns, changes? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Motion carries. Item 4, transportation element, prioritized projects list.
Okay.
Jenna, Ron, I'm guessing you guys want to...
Yeah, I think Ron's going to kind of go through the list of improvements, and then I will, and Mike will work on the policy.
Interject, yes.
So organizationally, Ron, I guess I'm correct that the difference just between the two pages is purely whether it's the numbered list or the prioritized list, right?
Correct. Yeah. So the same projects are in both lists. It's just one's prioritized and one is more. The first one is really a list of what's in black is what was on the existing transportation improvement program that's been adopted by the council. The red ones are the items that we're adding to our slate of projects for the next 10 years or more. What I have done in line item 29 is to put in the truck stop task force, basically trying to fund that based upon our comments that we had at the last meeting. And then 30 through 33 are improvements that go beyond the 6 or 10 years that are long-range planning projects that were in the are in the existing transportation comp plan. And certainly, all of these again are up for discussion if you want to. But I thought I'd put them in there just as food for thought or whatever. They won't be funded in the next 10 years, but I didn't want people to try and reinvent the wheel because we've already looked at those areas. And in the future, 6-7 years from now, if we're not here, we want somebody to know what we were thinking at the time.
Sure. That's good sense.
Now,
I'm sorry, on that, can I ask, so as you're saying, those particular ones are beyond the planning horizon. Is there a relationship between the prioritization and the years anticipated when these things would occur? Meaning, one of these is listed as, priority 10. There are other 10s that would be within the planning window.
The prioritization is just strictly based upon which projects should come first or second. It doesn't have anything relationship to when in terms of how many years out.
Gotcha.
If we can do 1 through 10 next year and then, the year after that, we put 11.
Yeah.
So it's all these are really money driven in terms of if we don't have the money to do them, they're not going to get done. So time frame, even for prioritized project number, let's say for number 17 or 16, South Fork Avenue extension, even though it's a priority 1, we may not get it done until 3 years from now or something like that.
Yeah.
No relationship between time frame and priorities. Couple things I wanted to. And on the second chart, what I did was I split the projects out as to whether or not they are vehicular type projects or pedestrian and trail type projects. So we can keep those separately because they can be funded from different sources. And so it may be that we may not have transportation or vehicular funding on those projects, but we may have lots of trail funding. So we could eat through those trail projects real quickly and not get much of the street projects done. So that's why I wanted to keep different priorities for those type of elements. One of the things I wanted to also mention is that we have in here for the sidewalk projects or pedestrian projects some improvements on in the Trucktown area that deal with, they say sidewalk improvements. For instance, number 23, sidewalk improvements north side, southeast 140th Street from North Bend Way to 457th. Right now, we have widened shoulders from the school to the Tanner Woods subdivision. What this Project 23 suggests is then we put sidewalks from about that point on going westward. My thought is that we may, I personally would like to see us think about converting those shoulders to sidewalks instead of keeping them widened shoulders, just for safety purposes. And then just sort of bite off projects as we go from the school westward on 140th Street. Keep adding sidewalk on and on. But that's a policy issue, or that's a, not a policy issue, but a
design planning.
No, it sounds like.
Well, it could be a policy. It could be a policy. It could be a policy that you might adopt in there, in that city needs to go in the direction of installing curbs and sidewalks instead of widened shoulders, because we are an urbanized area and not a rural area. Unless you want to keep it a rural atmosphere and just go with shoulders everywhere. So, again, that's a policy issue.
If I'm following you, you're saying that the widened shoulder's already there, or are you talking?
Right.
And you're just saying, hey, instead of continuing to maintain it, we should consider converting it.
Right.
Okay.
We do. So, basically, when the school was built, for some reason, the county's condition was that widened shoulder versus a sidewalk.
Yeah.
From the Tannerwood neighborhood.
About that.
However, there is a trail through the Tannerwood open space area.
Mm-hmm. Through Wood River.
Yeah.
Backside.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, I meant Wood River. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there could be other avenues to provide that pedestrian safe sidewalk path without maybe necessarily being in the road right away. But if I recall right, that little trail ends at the most eastern entrance.
457.
Yeah, so from that point forward, there's really no pedestrian access along 140th. And since we know the subdivision is built, we know we're not going to get those sidewalks via development.
Right.
So it's something to consider.
Yeah.
I didn't change anything in here to reflect that, because obviously some direction that you'd have to choose. And some people want to keep the area rural looking, which would be shoulders, and that's fine too. And some people like to provide for more safety by putting in curbs and sidewalks that actually separates the pedestrian from the road or from the travel. Or
what about future widening of the road? Will that ever be an issue?
It's designated as a collector. The plan is to have that street 36 feet wide, that is one lane in each direction, and a center left turn lane. And in certain areas, you don't need that center left turn lane. For instance, between the two entrances to to Wood River, you could probably just go with two lanes and no center left turn lane because there aren't any other accesses into Wood River. And on the right hand side is some of the industrial land. There's a couple individual parcels, but not enough traffic to be generated from them to require a center left turn lane. So some stretches of that could be narrower, but general, the design standard is to have a left turn pocket.
The entire right of way is already accounted for in the widened shoulders within the right of way.
Not all of them. In most of the area it is. As we go further from the Tannerwood subdivision on westward, there is some question as to how much right of way there really is.
Did you come down around the curve?
Yeah. But basically from 455th Avenue eastward, there's enough right of way.
To throw out a question, you mentioned safety, and that we always seem to fall back to that when we can't define the real reason. Pardon me for saying it that way, but every time I hear that safety, everything can be safety. So I wonder, particularly on that stretch of road, I think of children who arguably would be using the sidewalk to get to school versus riding their bike from there to get to school. If there was a trail access, even if it was through the woods, I probably would send little Johnny and my little Sally through the woods with friends than to send them out where they've got 6 inches of curb dividing them from a 40-mile-an-hour vehicle, sidewalk or not.
Sure.
In fact, I could even argue that putting a sidewalk there suggests safety when there really isn't any. So I'm just...
Is your question kind of what's inherently more safe about a sidewalk versus the widened shoulder?
Yeah. No, it's about a big expense for sidewalks under the guise of safety. And I just don't buy it there. And I don't know if this comes up regularly or...
We're doing the same thing downtown area. So from from Rocco's Diner or the gas station over by Ballarat on North Bend Way going eastbound, there's no sidewalk on the south side because we have the trail there. So any future development on that side for a right-of-way is going to be putting in curb only and landscaping. No sidewalk along that stretch. We're going to use the trail for the sidewalk
sure.
for that side. Similarly, you can look at Wood River the same way. If we can develop that trail that goes through that open space area in along 140th, we can use that as a pedestrian corridor and then have a lot of landscaping next to the curbs there.
Yeah, you were right to kind of the next stop of my thought process, which is we already have this amazing infrastructure that nobody else has, really, if you look around in grand scale. Every time we talk about pedestrian, we should be thinking trail. How can we get people to walk on the trail? Mm-hmm. So
unfortunately, though, you've got a lot of development still up there, too. So trying to get it off of the street is going to be problematic in some areas. And you have to make sure you have the linkages from where you have the sidewalk in the street to where you have the trails off them. And sure, they're going to come back in and out along the corridor. It's because some places you can't just put the trail in anymore.
Right. I'm not sure where to leave that. I just put it out there. Maybe it comes up again.
Sure.
Quick point. When the site or that stretch of pavement was put in, that 4 foot wide pavement, it was originally expressed to me by the King County Roads Division that it was easier to keep plowed of snow. And this elevation is about 400 feet higher than downtown North Bend. Is that at all a concern?
It's not that much higher, surprisingly. No. Yes, it'll snow a little bit more right up there. So it'd be very similar to what happens in to the south of the freeway. My mind's blank today.
Wood River.
Forster
Woods.
Boy, we're just struggling tonight, aren't we?
So Forster Woods impact is about the same as Wood River impact area, you know, which it's not a lot really. I mean, yeah, we snow, we plow that up there more often than we do downtown, but it's not a lot.
No difference where you have a flat shoulder versus a curb shoulder.
No, we just throw the snow right up over the curb and into the pedestrians or whatever. You know.
is part of the intent of the sidewalk over just a soft shoulder or a hardened shoulder or what have you is the idea of the amount of foot traffic or bicycle traffic or what have you that you're for maintenance and when we're thinking about laying down concrete, I think of that often in a setting like that is it would be more about the amount of travel that would degrade another surface versus that. Again, I'm going back, I guess, to what Jim raised around the safety. I'm struggling with the notion of there's anything inherently more safe about a raised curb and a 5 foot or 4 foot strip of sidewalk versus a path or a hardened shoulder or something.
Can I just offer one just observation is when some of the kids ride their bikes, they weave a lot, and a curb would help keep the kids out of the lanes of traffic would be one point that I would offer.
I used to jump.
Yeah, from a city's perspective, it would be if you're going to direct people out to the road to walk, mm-hmm. having the sidewalk surface and street trees to kind of define the pedestrian space would be ideal. I think where we're talking about, ideally, it's a mixture of sidewalks from North Bend Way up along Tannerwood, so now we have sidewalks along Tannerwood. And then maybe when it gets to Wood River, if there is ability to get an easement through to connect the trail portion to act as our sidewalk until we get back to an area that would develop and build a sidewalk. You know, I think we could be flexible in that, but it would come down to the city only has the authority on the right of way.
Exactly, yeah. In the right of way. So, and I think where you just went is kind of, and what Gary's saying is kind of defining the safety feature, so to speak, is really about the hard curb that helps the tire know where not to go, and the landscape strip that's separating whatever the surface is. From the
keep the pedestrian away from the travel area.
Right.
What about bus transit for school and whatnot, dropping off, and how's that impacting that area as far as where kids are? Is there a school bus activity?
They do it in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Stop in the middle of the street, put on their flashers, and you stop. Wait for them.
And also our existing street standards and also our design standards have a provision that allows us to deviate from our standard road section to accommodate topography, vegetation, things like that, to be a little more creative in those kinds of things.
We talked about it in that same general area we talked about. Do we really want to go wipe out the trees versus using them as assist with that? Yeah. Okay. Well, you didn't know you were opening that big a can, did you, Ron?
Oh, I knew. So I've left them the way they were worded in the draft, but if you want to change some of the policies that we have that might direct future improvements for pedestrian corridors toward either a sidewalk function or a shoulder function or whatever, I just wanted to make sure that that was sort of in your thoughts as you're going through the policies too. And then if whatever direction you go, we can always make changes to the scope of the projects in here.
I don't want to get us off the track, but it keeps asking another question. And I can't think of it off the top of my head because I don't run and connect the dots, but I've been quite a ways out to the east on the trail, out through River Bend, etc. And I'm wondering, from if we use downtown as a starting point and wanted to end at the middle school, are the dots connected in a trail of any kind?
Mm-hmm. No.
There's a mismatch in Wood River.
Mm-hmm. A lot of gaps.
And along 468.
Well, even to get to North Bend Way. Yeah, from North Bend Way over into that direction, there's the trail kind of just stops there before you even get to 140th.
And then if that connection existed today, would we be talking about sidewalks?
In that place, yeah. When we were updating our street standards like a year ago, we had thought about that with the street standard applicable to North Bend Way, and we made that standard such that the property owners on the south side of North Bend Way would have to construct basically the Tanner Trail on the south side all the way up to where 140th meets. And from there, it goes more to a conventional sidewalk because there wasn't as much space. And
so that's already written into the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, we're going to have pretty much trail connecting the dots.
At least up to 140th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There'll be a number of different types.
That'll be awesome.
Okay. Thank you. To move on.
Robin, number 27, what is ECL?
27?
468
SE
Southeast to ECL.
He's made a deal on my knee for some reason.
And the other question I had was number six. You had mentioned on numerous occasions about the difficulty of having a signal. So, and I don't recall seeing this particular item on the list previously. So,
it's been on the existing six-year TIP for a long time.
Okay. Maybe it's just because it existed.
Yeah, it's sort of one project we've been avoiding. The impact on that intersection has recently decreased because of the Downing Avenue extension.
Mm.
We're leaving some of the traffic from going to Ballarat to get onto North Bend Way or avoiding the QFC so they would come to Ballarat. Well, now they can avoid both and go down into North Bend Way. And in the future, who knows what's going to happen there, but that's unfortunately the area around there is already so heavily developed that putting in a roundabout there is not really feasible. If we do the downtown plaza area, that may change how we handle that intersection. Right now it's a signal, but we can change it in the future.
Okay. It just popped up today when I read through there. I was like, oh.
So there's not really any feasible roundabout design that works with the right of way beyond.
No, we'd have to really slow the traffic down, and if we do the downtown plaza, that location there would be a center little circle, mm-hmm. that we still use to negotiate, but traffic would be less and should be able to avoid some of the delays in that area.
So not a true roundabout, but there is a traffic slowing.
Item 20 right above it says downtown plaza from Bendigo to Ballarat. The plaza basically relies on Main and Ballarat to be signalized through a circle. More like downtown Edmonds is.
Controlled.
Controlled.
Yeah, that was a tough image for me too.
I read the word signal at the same time, guys. So I don't know, even in the way we've worded this, because one thing, this signal was originally paid for through the AF Evans project, which never happened, which therefore that was what kind of triggered it, if I remember right. That never happened, so the threshold has never occurred, or it fell back on the city's responsibility. So in the end, I think the top priority is making, designing the plaza so we don't have to use that signal. But that's subject to those other things happening, including the connector road, so we can not use North Bend Way as the front street of North Bend, rather have multiple access points through town. So.
Is there any consideration of a little sidewalk by Sideview Park and New Sideview where that fence is? It's just a road with a fence in the middle of it. And there's no sidewalk there.
Oh, yeah.
But we have sidewalks across the street at the park.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a
you're talking about the block connection between Sideview
that
and
might be a planning
park.
Commission recommendation.
Yeah,
it is this planning commissioner's recommendation has been. Take all the anger you want to share, foot.
Fifth Street, right?
We're talking Fifth Street.
Oh, okay.
There is no sensible reason to have that street closed off and preventing access when we are forcing other developments to provide connections.
And the only foot traffic, if let's say everybody abided by the pavement or a footpath, you have to go all the way around, then outside through New Side View around the roundabout, you know. But that's a natural cut through, especially with all the festivals and things that happen at the park. You know, having some sort of designated, even though it may be loosely implied that it's a crosswalk because there's an intersection, though it's closed off. I think further consideration there should be made.
That'll be even.
So let's just push it. What is it? We don't have an ordinance sitting on that. What do we've got? An agreement with the original development agreement. What is the actionable item? If we want to, it doesn't go on this as a agenda item, right?
Tell me
the can of worms.
That's a. You want to turn off the. you have how many council members living in New Side View? Three.
At least I know.
Enough said.
No, it's not enough said. I'd like to hear from the three council members why they feel that connectivity is not important in that location.
And you don't want to see increased traffic through their development.
Well, but where the council people live are already off the main roads going through, so that would actually loosen some of the traffic on the front end of that development.
Regardless of you know who lives where, I think one thing that could happen is you're working on the transportation plan. If it's this planning commission's recommendation that becomes a policy or a goal of the transportation plan, will be something that the council will have to take up through this document.
Isn't the connectivity issue already a policy in this document?
Yes.
I think it is.
Right.
Yes.
So what we're then talking about really is: are you putting an objective in here that matches that on that particular location, or are we talking about we're adding a line item for a funded project, whatever, $1,000 it'd take you to go take the barrier
it's
down?
It's already paved through there.
It's already paved.
Yeah, just taking down the barrier and putting some striping in there and stuff like that.
So I'm saying it's $2,000, right? So this commissioner proposes that be added to this transportation plan.
Second.
I'm for it. I'm not opposed to it.
And we don't make the decision, but so as you, especially those of you who have been unfortunate, subjected to me through the years on the, if I see inconsistency with the way that we are approaching our responsibilities, I'm going to call it out. This is one that's in, we are throughout all of our improvements that we've been making here for years, in all of our elements, that has been one. It's been connectivity, whether it be trails, streets, right? That is a huge inconsistency.
Can I bring up one more while you're on that?
We've got a motion and a second on the floor, so hold on to that thought. Is further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's a strong statement. Thank you, guys.
So maybe I can suggest a broader policy of removing barriers to connectivity. I'm thinking of one other one that's at the other end of the side of the neighborhood. And it would be a road connectivity.
On 10th Street.
On 10th Street right here, there's the city-owned lot and a hard fence with no gate behind it that connects immediately to Meadow Drive. That would make a fantastic pedestrian connection.
Absolutely.
But there's been no reason why that hasn't been taken down.
I'm not 100% following you, Mike. The city already owns.
There's an existing lot there that's actually probably originally open space for the subdivision. Mm-hmm. Or not, I shouldn't say open space, but it was maybe a park or something like that. But hasn't been designated as an open space, but is there and lines up with Meadowbrook Lane or whatever that lane is over there on Old Side View, and all we have to do is just cut a road through that lot to that other street, and we have interconnectivity in neighborhoods in that location.
So the property you're talking about that you said was held out is in city ownership. and the other side of the fence is city ownership.
Right away.
Yeah, right now I think what we're talking about is two different things, because that one, the reason why it hasn't occurred is not so much of a, there's been no discussion about why that fence is there, other than we just need to take it down.
Well, that's, I'm trying to understand who owns the fence and how it got there.
Yeah, putting pedestrian access through there probably wouldn't be a problem. Putting vehicular access through there would be something, again, that the council would have to fund. And would we get any money for it?
I think Mike at least would say trail.
But for pedestrians, yeah, we can certainly do it.
But we can take down the fence just with a direction from.
Well, that's
but again, we can put that as a project because it takes some capital to do it. And we can put that down as a capital project.
But yeah, what you're, it sounds like what we're at least in an immediate action, it's the idea of having whatever sort of a pedestrian connectivity improvement needs to go into that location. I don't know the location, so I don't have an opinion.
It's in the back side of Old Side View, so if you go straight back.
Conceptually, I understand where it is. I just
because the issue is any folks that live on that side and these side view have to really walk all the way around if they're on foot, or because there's no you can't. All the riverbank trails are privately owned, to the best of my knowledge, so I don't think you can access it from any of the high banks. You have to go around. And then that, if you follow the interior trail, New Side View, to Side View Metro Parks, there's a little, where that trail actually ties into Old Side View, there's a little roundabout. Sheriff lives right there, you've probably seen the car. Mm-hmm. If you want to hop off that trail, that's how you get into Old Side View.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no other way in.
And so what we're talking about is toward the river on that same improved trail.
Yeah, you're close to the river, heading down. And so what that would do is it would allow the two communities actually better foot traffic.
Right.
And I think about it during Halloween. Right. We live in Old Side View, so it's like, oh, okay, we got to hop that trail at the sheriff's house.
Well, what we could do is add that as a pedestrian improvement on the trails portion of the list.
Right, right. That's makes sense to me. So I,
both of those seem like low hanging fruit.
Right.
I'm not missing something.
Yeah. So is that something we took it as a motion on this last one. Is it something you really need as a motion, or is that just a hey, there's something else that should be handled?
Under the connectivity, which is already in.
Why don't we just do it as a motion? Because then we know the level of support, so that can be.
Move the city investigate removal of said fence.
Between you and
in outside. Amongst the trail improvement guidelines.
Okay.
Second.
Any other discussion? In favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There you go. I think those are two very good ones.
Yep. So I have a quick question for Ron when he's free. Is item 28, which is the roundabout at Middle Fork Road in the 468th Avenue intersection, and it might just be changing the reasoning or help me understand, but if we're to allow for trucks to come through there, we talked about an easement for a roundabout being sufficient, and I can't imagine a roundabout being big enough to accommodate the semi-trucks in that space without buying land from the surrounding areas.
Yeah, I'd probably have to buy some land. Yeah. You want to put in a roundabout that's about the same size as the one at North Bend Way and Cedar Falls Way intersection because of the truck size and movement, you know, because it'll take that much space to do it. But a lot of that land right in that area is undeveloped, so putting it in at this stage or having the project in our list of projects, should development occur in that area, would then require them to at least provide for that development by donating or dedicating land for that, even though they may not have the traffic impact right now. They can still provide the dedication to accommodate that future improvement.
Are we calling out for the ability for the truck to turn specifically to ensure that we're thinking of sizing it for that versus a roundabout period?
Yes.
Okay.
So my next concern is what we were talking about was building trail or curb access for this school children that are walking in that same stretch of land. And what I've read on truck studies is that they prefer to not commingle with residential or regular traffic. They want to own their own area. And, you know, you'll have school traffic, you'll have Bessemer Mine traffic, you'll have whatever, Terex. And at the same time, we're going to bring the trucks down to intermingle with that mix.
Well, it's not for, it's not going to be a lot of truck traffic. It's just for those intermittent ones that drive by the truck stop and didn't know where they were going or what they were doing and have to turn around. So
instead
it's
of coming
not a regular
way
truck down. Route. It's just to accommodate those.
The alternative is to come down to the next one that already exists and go around.
No,
Cedar
the alternative is continue down 140th or stop right at that intersection and do some backing up or what have you.
So if the purpose of the roundabout is because we're trying to keep the trucks from continuing down, what if you pulled the roundabout back closer to the truck stop? You have to acquire property anyways.
Because that's a better available location for land, and it also helps with the future traffic load coming from Middle Fork Road. So it's not just for trucks.
It's a poorly designed intersection with three streets, and so it does need some type of improvement, and a circle or a roundabout might be the best solution. It's just now the...
Now it's a truck circle.
Should it be a truck circle? Maybe that's something that we leave to the task force. And
don't focus just on trucks in that area. It's certainly one reason for it, but...
It's not the reason.
It's not the only reason.
I agree with Gary is, you know, figure out what we're going to do with the trucks using the folks on the task force and if that's what it ends up being or whatever it might be.
And if something else comes out of the task force that solves that situation of errant trucks going up that way, then we won't have to do as big a circle or whatever. I still think we should put a circle in there, but it won't have to be as big.
Because you would know better than I the difference between a semi-truck and a fifth wheel or a full-size motorhome. So we have to accommodate those as well.
That we have to accommodate school buses and fire trucks and ladder trucks.
But they can all use our current circle without mounting the inside apron.
Mm-hmm.
So the radius is okay. We could still probably bring it in closer to the center and have a less of a smaller diameter one to make it work.
And one thing to think about, too, is as Puget Western's property develops to the north, the way we wrote the overlay is that if there was X, Y, and Z that happened, which included the study, the freight mobility study, then potentially we'd expand the allowance of truck parking. With that would come mitigation for impacts, which would include traffic. At that point, maybe that mitigation would show that the intersection that would be best suited for that would be the one accessing the new truck parking area. And at that point, we'd do that and maybe just improve that with a smaller, more vehicular, so it would almost be another dog bone, one big and one small. Because it's going to be hard to have the impact of a development built to the south justify the reason why they have to put in this big roundabout is because 5 to 100 million trucks are going to go past it. You know, because that's just the error of the driver versus the true impact of the development. So this, putting it in this location is going to fall a little bit more on the city unless the entrance to that Puget Western is farther up at that intersection, which we probably wouldn't want anyway. So there's a lot to this, and I think you said it right, by this task force. We'll really have to dial in on those more detailed things,
But it's good to have at least the project in the scope, whatever. Later on, as we go down the years, the scope gets more defined once we know what the impacts really are, the time we need to put it in, and the design will actually bear it out too.
On the timing of this comment, I was just going to ask about the task force. I think it's the second planning meeting where we brought it up. This would be number three at the moment. And I'm just curious, so we're making recommendations to council. I have not had the opportunity to really peruse the minutes of the council meetings, but I'm not sure it's getting on the radar. Can somebody speak to that?
It's going to come with this. When you guys, hopefully we're going to be done with this recommendation, not tonight, the next meeting, because you still have to get all the general language of the introduction and the purpose of it. So hopefully we can get through the policies tonight and then come back with the general information, get through that, and send it on to planning or council in February.
So just this past meeting minutes spoke to the amendment. So that's already passed and moved on. That recommendation's already gone to council in my mind.
My recollection, and I'm not looking at the minutes, but it was that the planning commission actually suggested that council take it up at a work study, and we haven't had a work study since that meeting.
I don't know anything about a work study.
I think it was get it to council so they can get started on
that
developing.
That was my impression too.
Get it to council so they could put together a task force or what?
The language here says recommend to council that they coordinate a task force, including regional issues, which is going to outline specific problems, squarely focusing on truck town and to facilitate financing solutions.
Yeah.
Pass 5-0. So,
yeah.
Right.
I mean,
what council does with it, but I'm just pointing out that I don't see anything why there wouldn't be any reason we'd be waiting making that recommendation to council on our action on this. We've already made and passed the recommendations already there.
Okay. So the
right.
Let me correct that. This is going to go to council with full recommendation. That number two item on your list is to create a task force. So that's sending the message very clearly. In the meantime, last meeting you guys told us to have city council discuss this. That was December whatever. What day was this meeting? The 8th, yeah. So there hasn't been a work study. This topic definitely is going to need a work study for the council to ponder the ways to create this,
right,
who the players are, versus doing it on at a meeting where
right,
they haven't, they're just kind of coming into it without having that discussion prior to. So we have a retreat this month. It was going to be discussed that this is what the planning commission suggested. Council, give us direction on how you want to proceed with that.
Yeah.
Point of personal privilege.
Sure.
Can I just say from my perspective that what it seems like is it's taking it out of the public process and a public purview and putting it behind closed doors. And I don't believe that was the intent of the motion, nor is what's reflected in the minutes. I think what we set out to do was to openly talk about with the community what the concerns are for the Trucktown area, put together whoever those concerned citizens are, as well as council, as well as anybody in the area who needs to participate. I don't think it was about how the city council takes it up on their own.
Wait a minute. That's not what I said at all.
Sorry.
Work study is a public meeting,
right,
and the reason it's called a work study is it is where the council can ask citizen questions. It's an informal discussion atmosphere where people can come, all of you can come and attend, provide your thoughts, comments, versus a council meeting, you have your 3 minutes in the beginning to non-agenda items, agenda items only. So this is where, you know, if you're on a basketball team, this is practice. This is where you're learning how to execute what you decide.
Okay.
I think it's in that regard, I think, maybe the misunderstanding is it's really meant to push it much more into the public realm.
Yeah, definitely.
So the next work study is scheduled for?
Well, there's not a work study this month. There's going to be, however, a retreat for the council to deal with issues for the upcoming year.
Right.
Basically set the priority of the work plan.
And one of the items in there is going to be the transportation, TIP, and the transportation benefit district, how they link together, and what projects are going to be funded by the transportation benefit district. So this matrix here is going to be one of the key items in helping to determine the funding process and what projects the TPD is going to take on. And because we've prioritized the task force as number one item for the particular part, it's going to be, you know, put in front of the council in terms of let's do something right away.
In the meantime, we'll let them know your recommendation. So they can tell us, okay, this is, let's take this up in February's work study after, you know.
Yeah. And to be clear, my comments were oriented towards it's already in council's hands. They haven't met.
Yeah.
We get that more than, I just was being clear that it wasn't, that recommendation wasn't waiting on us passing this element.
We weren't so holding it up.
We're not holding anything up. The council just hasn't met.
Right.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Just a point of how the process could work if the council chooses to have it this way. Task force to me means you pool resources, people of expertise, people of interest, and you put them in a room and say, think tank.
Go for it.
Is that the proper concept that you have in mind?
Mm-hmm.
So could an avenue to draw those people in include the city website? Has it been done before?
I think what we were looking at is who are the major players in freight mobility in the state. We need the state, the feds, we need the port, we need the state patrol, we need the city, we need the truck stop, and we need the adjoining property owners who have, so those general
stakeholders.
Number one, our key versus...
And city citizens.
And yeah. And anything that comes out of this is going to have to go through the public process just like any of our adopted plans do. So this task force would say, okay, here's what we've studied, here's what we've learned, here's what we recommend. Now North Bend Planning Commission and Council, here's what we suggest you adopt, and then you take it through the public process. This is how I kind of see it. Unfolding.
Well, that makes sense to me. You're trying to get all of the appropriate stakeholders at the table to help make recommendations back to the city in which this area resides.
Well, I thought we were also looking at possible getting funding from other avenues.
The recommendations
be beyond the city.
Recommendations aren't just going to go to the city. It's going to go to, for instance, if the port's going to be a player in this, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. Recommendations have to go to the Port Commission and
sure.
For in terms of them providing money or solutions. Same thing with WSDOT or whoever. You know.
This may not be in accordance with Robert's rules here, but I happen to know there's a gentleman in the room who I mentioned he probably could come at 7:15 to be able to speak.
Yeah, you're outside of the room.
So I look to the chair to give me some guidance.
Yeah. Well, that'll have to
okay.
Be.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, is there an opportunity for public comment on this agenda item?
We'll get to that, yes. Ron, I wanted to go. So, you know, we've had a good discussion going so far on the various elements. There may be more questions yet, but were there other things that you were looking to point out than just the list itself?
My element's done. Sorry, it should take only half an hour. But.
In regard to, so we've gone through the list. Is there, so I'm asking Steph, is there moving into the goals, objectives, and actual policies? Is there material here that you're wanting us to go through tonight? Is that the next step that you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's possible with the Planning Commission tonight, we would like your. To be able to finish up the policies so that we can move on to the next meeting to the kind of the overall language of the document so that we'll be ready to move forward with your recommendation.
Okay. So let me let me pause. What I'm hearing then is we're ready to move on from agenda item 4 to agenda item 5. Is that what I'm hearing?
Before we do, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'm not going here. I'm just asking, is that what we're here. Yes?
That would be, yeah.
Okay. So that's probably where we want to pause and get public comment on this agenda item. But Gary first.
I was just going to make a motion to move item 28 down below item 26 on the priority list. And that way the task force might have an opportunity to study and come up with a resolution so it wouldn't be in conflict with the plan that's in the top 10 priorities.
So you're suggesting moving 28 to where?
Below 26.
Oh, yeah.
In priority.
Yes.
So currently, so that's the motion, right? Well, you're not talking about the number of it. You're talking about the priority of it.
Yeah.
You're saying reprioritize it.
It's 10, and I would like to move it to be the new 14th.
So move 28 below 26.
Yes.
Right. And then would it be a 9 or would it be a 10?
It's a 6 right now.
Yeah, it's currently a 6.
The other priority number, see how the, yes. So is it going to be a 9 or is it going to be a 10?
So, yeah.
We can make them.
Make sure we get the right.
I'll
right
make sure that's
9.5.
So I like your thought.
Well, I do too.
Point of clarification. So is your motion to take capital improvement project item number 28 and reprioritize it from 6 to 10?
That would be correct.
Second.
Okay. Further question, discussion? Staff comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Okay. All right. Do you have a number of people from the public, we remind you that we will hold for 3 minutes. And since we didn't go in through any formal thing at the beginning and the sign up, if you'd state name and address.
Number 4 or item related to Jenna.
This is on item number 4 on the list. Did you want to speak to that?
I have Sherwood? A couple comments.
I'm sorry?
I have a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
My name is Sherwood Corson. I live at 1371046 First Place Avenue. Couple comments here. That item number 28, it may make sense to make a note in there that the location of that's fungible, but the roundabout is probably necessary in some manner of traffic control that may not necessarily be necessary or optimal at that intersection. It seems to me that traffic control can get those trucks turned around before they go past that point. And it may make that roundabout that you put in there smaller so that it works for the school buses and schools and all of that. But not necessarily constructing an intent that you'll let the trucks run up there. And there is quite a number. Second item related to that 140th trail. I think you would have success in coming to some kind of agreement to use an easement in there for what you're talking about. But I'm certain that one of the issues that would come from that community is the necessity for the curb to identify where the edge of the road that is. There's a lot of trucks parking down there now because there is no curb. It's an old shoulder.
So can I ask you a quick question on that too?
Sure.
So would curbs then only be on the side where this sidewalk or trail would be, or would curbs also be installed on the other side, which is where I think trucks a lot of times there's a little kind of a cutout there.
The south side.
That's on the south side, yeah. So would curbs be there too?
The installation of curbs, what I was mainly looking at was the projects that were providing pedestrian stuff and trying to keep the separation of the pedestrians from the travel with the use of a curb and that.
Okay.
If we're going to address truck parking and the use of curbs to try to minimize truck parking on shoulders, that's a different issue.
Okay.
So, again, that might be policy, or it might be something the task force says we need to do that, or we can certainly go down that road and say we want to put curbs throughout all our collector streets or something like that. But that was not the intent of these projects that aren't listed here. They're just basically pedestrian-oriented type of stuff.
My comment is specific to that piece of that stretch. That I believe that it's possible to work out an easement to do a trail, but I also think that the community that grants that to you is going to require that there be a curb there.
Please give us a
It's down. A rolled it's a rolled curb into a open gutter, and so at some point in time, I would imagine that your stormwater is probably going to change too. So that's just a comment. Another comment, Mr. Garrow, you did a great job on the TIP list. I went through and identified some of those projects, and I think there's a couple of them, that two or three maybe, that identify work that needs to be done in the 202 easement. One of them is on the highway, on the state highway 202.
Oh, 202.
Along 202.
What I think was the ADA compliance issues in the, at least in the presentation that was done by Pertit. They showed some restoration work that needed to be done on one or both of the bridges to be able to get handicapped.
Oh, for the bridge, yeah.
My suggestion would be to keep it in your tip list, but identify it as one of those match issues and make an issue that is a requirement for WASHDOT.
It's actually a requirement for any jurisdiction, even WASHDOT. If they touch that roadway, they have to make it ADA compliant.
Right. Well, and I think it's even from an ADA perspective, regardless if the ADA identifies the need, then whoever's responsible for it has to respond. But if I was thinking, rather than spending $1 TIP money on that, put it in on your list of things to look for match or grant from the state to upgrade the ADA in the 202 easement area, so that it doesn't become monies that are required by the taxpayers, or 100% monies required by the taxpayers. I think there's two or three items in there that could easily apply to that, just in an effort to leverage the dollars that are coming out of the tax revenue.
We don't do any projects in the 202 corridor unless we have WASHDOT participation. Because, for instance, we put the signal in at Park Street, the state was not going to participate. So we said, well, we're not going to put the signal in there. We're going to give you some control here. You got to participate. So they did by doing their inspections and plan reviews and not giving us any, charging us any permit fees. So we saved a lot of money on the permitting and construction end of it by their participation. It's always a given on 202.
Yeah, if you just landed on Mars and you read that, you would think that the city was stepping up to pay those dollars. And I just think that it's a
good color.
So you're just to make the clarity in the comments.
Yeah.
So which project was that one?
So it's number 18.
Oh, okay.
It's also 19.
18 and
19.
Okay.
I thought there was another one, too.
What I'll do is
just make a clarifying note.
I'll put in the reasoning and the comment in there with WASHDOT participation.
That just kind of opens up for a match if they get all their money.
Sure. Would you have another?
Yeah. I was listening to what this task force is doing, and it sounded to me like it was shifting back over into another government agency forum of people who sit and speak agency language and come back with nothing. And then after they come back with their outline of virtually nothing, it's given to the citizens to go through what we've gone through two or three times. I would direct you to line 44 of the minutes of the Thursday, December 8th meeting, where it was identified as a citizen's advisory committee. I understand that the stakeholders need to be there, but I think the citizens can be there a lot sooner. And so we're going to shuffle through the mess and agree on what the real issues may be when these 32 sets come to the table. And last question, Mr. Garrett, I don't know if it's appropriate now, but sometime, could you identify where the Super Mario bypass might be at from the West Bend Way to Super Mario, directly getting traffic up to 31? And the Nintendo bypass?
Oh. The connector road?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a right-of-way that runs along the floodway on Ryberry Creek from South Fork, from the outlet mall entrance.
So, right here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the parallel Ryberry Creek.
Does it connect there?
No. Just,
to North Fenway.
So where would it connect?
Yeah, you went past.
First to South Fork right here, and then goes right along through here and connects right in here.
Oh.
Halfway between the bridge and Northwest 8th Street.
So, and the topography is reasonable?
It's fairly flat through there. The only problem will be the crossing of the railroad.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else from public wish to speak?
The church. I came because Jim invited me about the task force thing. I didn't know that that was going on, but I just wanted to say that I want to participate in that, and I've got a little bit of expertise because I'm a homeowner in Wood River, and I've got 15 years in the trucking business, so I know what's going on in Seattle and on the east side, so I know that we're the hub buyer. The sidewalk issue, I own property on 140, but I have one of the houses on 140. I think that the HOA out there is going to be more than willing to work with the city on getting something done, because the existing trail, if that's what you want to call it, isn't exactly a trail. I mean, there's exposed roots and all that stuff. So whatever improvements need to be done out there, I think that the homeowners will stick to. They want to keep it a somewhat natural state. But the people that their property borders 140th, I think they also want to have the buffer from, even though there's a lot of homeowners that use the trail for exercise or whatever, they still want to have that privacy buffer for the future development. So we've got our existing rotted out split rail fence that we've been holding off doing anything with that because we're waiting for to see what the improvements are going to be and then move forward in conjunction with the city when we go to do that stuff. So that's it on that. I think the roundabout at Middle Fork is the right between 468th and Middle Fork. I think that's probably the right spot. Considering the traffic flow that's going to be, once they pave the road out there, if that they do that extension of 12 miles or whatever they're talking about doing out there, the traffic's going to even increase more out there. And so I think the roundabout at 468th and Middle Fork is probably the right spot. However, a signal at 146th that comes out of the pit, right, comes out of Cadman's pit, that I don't think is a good idea. I think that's just going to, I don't think there's enough traffic that comes out of that pit to warrant the traffic like
that. Which
there.
I think was actually taken out.
Yeah, right now, if there's any traffic delay on that street, it's only Cadman's traffic.
Right.
So
I'll
let them delay it there. Yeah. What the heck, you know? I don't want to stop traffic on 468.
Yeah, it's not like trucks are sitting there for 5 minutes waiting on traffic. Yeah. You may have to wait a minute at the most.
But the plan was that when it warrants, that's when it would go in. It's not.
If anything, if the safety issue of the speed of traffic on 468, and all trucks are pulling out to make that left-hand turn is what will be the issue for the trucks pulling out. the truck stop task force thing, I'm just kind of jumping all over the board here, but the in my opinion, the main stake players as far as who we need to get money out of is the Port of Seattle, Port of Tacoma, and King County. King County's already a budget shortfall, but the port's got plenty of money. I mean, there's $50 billion of exports that go out of Seattle and Tacoma. So there's, I mean, that's what I'm doing now is I'm all in freight from the east side, turning back to Seattle or Tacoma, Monday through Friday, and I know how many trucks are doing that. So the port, they don't want, they're trying to get the trucks out of downtown Seattle, but there's no place to send them. And so if we're willing to, you know, build the infrastructure out here for a place for them to park, then they should be more than willing to step up to the table and help us do that. It's helped solve the problem for them.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll just make a follow-on comment to that that comes right back to your comment about the task force. I happened to make one of the motions that was in the mix about creating it, and I had a vision of citizens first, stakeholders, how are they going to participate to make the city better as a result of their activity, not ask them first, how would you like to do this? So however the language to the council needs to be crafted, I'm not interested in bringing in 1,000 government entities and letting them stare at each other all afternoon on the tax payroll, by the way. So I'll leave it at that.
I'm just trying to find the happy medium between getting the expertise and the people who care.
Exactly.
And not having it out of balance one way or the other.
Is there anyone else from the public who should speak on items?
I'm kind of from the public. I'm with Cascade Sierra Solutions.
Well, you count as public because you're not on the commission. So you state your name and
Kelly Boucher. I'm the regional center manager for Cascade Sierra here in Seattle. I don't know if you, any of you are familiar with the company and what we do. And we do deal with government agencies. We're a nonprofit company, and we rely on grants to do things with the trucking industry. We did the Seattle Scrap Project with Puget Clean Air Agency with the Port of Seattle, and we're currently doing the Tacoma Project now, too. And it's not just the port trucks down there we're dealing with. We're also dealing with some of the city trucks in the non-attainment area down there, removing those out of the port and that area and doing the scrapping project for them, too. I went to a meeting several months ago. We talked. I wanted to listen in a lot about what's going on, and I've had many conversations with like Frank from Department of Ecology. I think it's important to have the community be the number one, so we know what's going on. But I think it's important that we get these government agencies together that are involved with communities like Puget Sound Clean Air, yes, the Port of Seattle, the Port of Tacoma, and it's going to have to be a wire stick to get them to do anything, because they're not funding anything with regards to our project in Tacoma. It's all coming from WashDOT through the city of Tacoma. So we want them to step up to the plate. We want them to get involved. And those government agencies, you put them together and you say, we need you to cough up some money. We need to have this funded, and this is where you guys are going to get together, and this is where you're going to say, we need to have, you know, overflow parking. I sent some information to Gary this week. We are doing truck stop electrification. We just opened location in Ellensburg. We're working on in Yakima, and we're putting these power pedestals in 50 truck stops throughout the U.S., and we have a rebate program going through Shore Power with the Department of Energy for this. It's $22.2 million, and I had talked to Gary about doing ideal thing because of the overflow here with the truck stop, getting those trucks out of the communities so they have a place to go park and not idle their trucks and get them out of, you know, the truck stop there is not big enough for all these trucks, of course. And so what happens when the pass closes, like last year, how many times did it close down?
So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we want to make sure that we are addressing the items on the tip, and I think you are overall, but we really...
Sure. I wanted to give some insight a little bit of what I think there's huge possibilities. I hear people saying, you know, we don't want all the government agencies involved. We need them involved because that's where we need the money.
Thank you.
That's what we rely on to do these projects. And we want to push them as hard as we can to cough up some money to get this stuff done.
Thank you. Appreciate that. One last person in the audience. Good. Okay. All right. With that,
Chair, I want to clarify my statement. I wasn't saying keep the government agencies out. I was saying let the people get together first who've been here in this for a long time, because we've had the agencies, the city and so forth out in the front, and then it gets fed back. I think the essence and the character of the Citizens Committee is to establish in whatever manner an agenda and then start to bring these other people in, because if you bring in the Port of Seattle and the Port of Tacoma and WashDOT, they're going to establish an agenda that eliminates their need to pay.
Bingo.
We had them in here 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago in this room, and you're sitting where the Port of Tacoma guy was, and he said, we don't affect your infrastructure and we don't have any money, so too bad. So let's try it a different way and get the citizens to set the agenda and then bring the state in over the agencies over the top.
Thank you. Sure. Did you have some more on four, Gary?
I do. I'd actually like to propose another wish, actually, to improve 436 Avenue Southeast and North Bay, North Bend Way intersection. And we could discuss what priority it should have, but I think as this area grows that we ought to consider making right and left turn lanes, so if you're on North Bend Way going into town heading west, there would be a left turn lane. If you're coming out of town going east, you would have a right turn lane, and if you're on 436, you'd have a left or a right turn lane. So you'd make that more of a main exit, and you would provide more residential or local access there, so that way exit 31 would be more business and downtown use and kind of give us a little bit of a better mobility through that intersection.
Is that exit 32?
Yes.
Oh, exit 32. Okay.
I believe it's 436.
436 is southeast. Exit 32.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
you're talking about the T intersection.
Yes.
Right. Right now we have it as a roundabout.
I was going to say it's already on the list as a
roundabout
location.
It's down near the bottom now.
It's number 32.
Yes.
Okay. I just saw southeast intersection. I didn't know that NUW is North Bentley.
Does that answer your?
I withdraw. Yeah.
All right.
So you're such a visionary.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Moving on. Number.
So I just want to make one last comment.
Good.
I'm sorry. Very quick. Kathy here is who I had mentioned in a prior meeting, who I felt like when we were talking about the Citizens Committee was the exact kind of people that we need on here, who are actually have actionable successes that they've had, you know, in our area on the truck stop. So I just want to put that on record that this is who I was talking about.
Thanks
for
coming.
All right.
Both of you.
Agenda item number five, transportation element, draft policy revisions. Who's up?
Okay. Well, I think the best way to handle this is, I'm sure all of you have read through the policies. We got some comments from Gary, which I think he emailed to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I can pass those around as well.
Yeah, Mike made copies. So what we could do is go just page by page and start hammering out where we have some things to talk about, which is probably the most efficient way.
Okay.
So I'll pass around.
Four?
What's that?
Are you in four?
In item
five,
agenda item number four?
No, is that
five?
Comments.
And the changes.
Oh, you dive in.
Is that what that is?
The editor?
Yeah.
Yeah, M number one.
M19.
Probably. M, yeah. If anybody see M, that's me.
Just want to know
some of those comments also were just
things.
some of those comments wound up in the final document, and they were more kind of comments to other staff, so there's some that might not make sense. So anyway, I'll pass around Gary's comments, and maybe we can just get to those when we get to that particular section.
I think as was suggested, I think let's just go page by page.
Expect
each commissioner to speak up to the items on their page.
Are you guys hearing anything? Or
yes.
It's a pump and iron down the hallway.
I'm impressed with all of your hearing. I'm impressed with all of you.
And I'm sorry, what's the source of this handout?
Me.
Okay.
I was stuck in an airport.
Okay. I'm stuck in an airport a lot. I don't know. Okay. So, and Mike, do the page numbers on the handouts correspond with the page numbers in the document?
The first one does. The second one, I just did a cut and paste to fit it on one page.
We may have to go by policy number.
Well, it says
that was
got a page 20. Your
that was at the end of the policy section.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So. Page one, I don't see any edits on that page, nor anything on the handouts. Does anyone have any comments on page one?
I'm going to trust Gary to pipe up on this handout.
Introduction, page 21. Is that something we're going to discuss next week? Or
Yeah, we're going to put that into the broader.
You can give us that, though, ahead of time, and we could look at it while we get the packets ready.
It's in what I sent out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, edits to page 1, you mean?
Page 21.
Oh, okay.
I didn't put that section in because we were just going to do the policies tonight.
Okay. So I'm hearing nothing. Page 2. Okay, we've got three comments there around a couple of strikes. This regards goal number one, objective 1.1, and policies 111 through 115. Nothing. Gone once, twice, gone. Page 3.
Okay. Going back and forth on objective 01.3, design requirements versus standards, and these are really. I was thinking it was design standards and. Striked, I think, in the previous one that we had.
What specifically are you looking at, Scott?
That first sentence in the objective 01.3, design standards for streets should be related to needs. And
okay.
Or design requirements,
versus.
Yeah, I think standards is more the common term that we use, so we can change that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very reasonable.
Okay, makes sense.
I guess continuing on to something else on page 3.
Anyone else in 3? 4?
On the top of 4, I guess we struck out the local residential streets and discouraging of cut-through traffic. And it seems like that's a good piece in having something like that out there for the actual objective of what this policy does. And maybe doing something... I guess we put it shortcuts. I kind of crossed a couple things, but maybe if it were to read something like local residential streets should be designed to prevent or discourage cut-through traffic, using such measures as traffic calming should be considered to maintain the local residential standard. It seems like
I should.
The point of it was to do things like this.
Yeah, I think if we maybe. The language that you had. No, it sounded good, and I think if we add while maintaining connectivity,
right,
that would get to the concern that we had.
Because I'm afraid otherwise, adding the thing that we did, that gets mixed easily. So we need to make sure that it does have some kind of connectivity.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that, because cutting through a neighborhood ultimately is kind of a connected.
I guess what I'd be asking in the notion of putting it back is that is not the way the streets are designed with the various right-of-way lane widths, traffic calming features, all of the things that we've built into the design standards are intended to focal point funnel traffic. Connectivity, again, being a very important element. And so the idea of just simply, you know, cut up everything, any connection is potentially a cut through, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't, while I understand the concept, I don't think it's language that really helps in that regard, right? Unless you were literally going to promote a policy of non-connectivity. Right? It just flies in the face of connectivity.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me the important element here is neighborhood, local streets shall be designed to serve the local community. So what we don't want to do is develop a road that is such an easy, such a wide, such a straight shot through that everybody's cutting through just because it's been poorly designed.
Well, it's either a collector or arterial or
right,
it's
so
not.
Your point is right. Very good in the realm of our design standards kind of address that, I think.
So are you with me, Scott? Want to say?
Yeah, I really see what you're saying.
So is it in or out?
I still like it. I still like something of the nature. I get what you're saying with the whole cut through thing, and I don't know if you need to go to the extent you say regional cut through, because it's like, I don't know, you'd ever really get to a definition that everybody would agree on. But
a non-targeted use.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, is your only reason for deleting it is because it could be used against the concept of connectivity?
Yeah, I think if you have a neighborhood that is opposed to a neighborhood next to it, somebody from that neighborhood could look to this policy and say, "Council, look what you're doing here." And
well, Fifth is a good example, because there's only what, maybe 20 homes on that street.
Where are you?
Fifth off of Orchard to get to the rest of Sideview, you would be cutting through that street. Or connecting through that street. However you want to word it, like what you said, any connected street is a potential. So really it comes down to it's got to be designed in a way that it actually takes potentially longer just because it's a slower street than just getting off the main road and going.
Right.
You know?
Well, I guess, again, the point is that through any particular neighborhood could be viewed as being a cut-through, right? And simply the grid pattern, you know, working your way out towards a collector, if I'm going to weave through the pattern of streets. And
well, presently, do we have any policies that if we have a road or street that wasn't intended to have a major shortcuts or cut-throughs that have become shortcuts or cut-throughs, are there any remedies that we have in place for that, such as speed bumps, or I'm sure there's engineering.
There's a program that we have already on the code book that allows for the neighborhood to approach the city and say, we want to have traffic calming measures on this street. We would then go through and do a traffic study of speeds and traffic volumes and things like that, and determine whether or not there's really a problem or if it's just a perceived problem during the specific time period, and then come up with recommendations on what to do for the neighborhood. And the neighborhood would then have to buy in to whatever we were going to do, and then the council would have to fund it. So there's a process for addressing those. We've used it, I think, twice in the 10 years that I've been here. So it's not used very often.
Used twice, or how many times has it been requested to be?
Twice.
Just twice. Just
twice.
I guess a non-public one is the one we talked about earlier, the whole Dowling Street idea. QFC parking lot was a major thoroughfare.
Yeah.
Necessarily legal, but certainly used.
The reason I'm bringing that up is that, you know, it's hard to say what will be a shortcut eventually. So if this is stricken, but we have other policies in place to help protect against that should it develop, then do we need that regulation right now? working against the spirit of connectivity when we have remedies already at our disposal.
And actually, I think the best way to avoid cut-through traffic is to have multiple connections. Once you have a true grid, more like downtown, you don't ever have that cut-through. It's more the suburbia type neighborhoods that you have to deal with that. So the more connections we make, the less we even deal with cut-throughs, because there's just so many options. That's the beauty of connectivity.
If the issue is speed versus the issue of cut-throughs, then maybe this policy should read more like all residential streets shall incorporate traffic calming measures to minimize speeds or something like that.
But again, I just go back to what's already an existing policy. I mean, we have established maximum speed
limits. They're not designed
limits,
that way, though. They're just put in place if there becomes a problem.
So you're talking about something sub the standard speed limits and widths of the road, right? Cedar Falls Way in front of Sideview would
it's
be...
It's not a residential street. That's an arterial.
It's an arterial, so it's right? With a posted speed limit that's lower than a typical arterial. Is that right? Was that one of the two projects that you were citing in neighborhood requesting calm?
No. There was the New Sideview.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
New Sideview.
Cedar Falls.
Landing way that goes through New Sideview. Mountain
View Boulevard.
Mountain View Boulevard. That was one of them. And another one was over on 8th Street Northeast.
You brought up the speed limit. I think 25 or 15. For neighborhoods and streets, etc. Am I right about that?
It's a state default speed limit.
Okay, so the streets that we're talking about, that's this gray area, are those 15-mile-an-hour streets?
There are 25 miles per hour default speed limit.
Unless otherwise posted.
Does that help define this issue? Call that out? In other words, a street that has the speed limit or something? I'm trying to get to... What's a thoroughfare? What's a connectivity?
Well, that's local residential streets defines what
that's
it is.
That's 25.
That's 25.
By state defined. Okay.
I would rather it's going to hinder the connectivity piece that I guess we talked about earlier. I would rather strike it. But I guess what you were just saying is that putting in language that you would put in traffic calming before you even have an issue, which in some respects, then you may end up spending a lot more money than what you ever really would need to, because you may never have a problem anyway. But
true.
I guess if we have a process that you can go through to get to that, then even though it's only been used twice, it's still there to use.
And all our new design standards include the narrower streets, the bold outs on the intersections, right. Which are all calming.
Take a drive through the new Cedar Falls neighborhood, and I think you'll see what we're implementing with our policy. So that's got narrower streets, it's got a number of crosswalk bulb outs, intersection bulb outs, and yet it is connected. It has multiple connectivity points, but it's not somewhere where you'd race through.
I guess it is now open.
Yeah.
The barriers are gone.
Yeah, just add the curb.
Okay, so it sounds like we're okay there. We're ready to move on. All right.
I have one more comment on that too.
Okay.
For the policy one, about 3.6. I guess a couple of questions. Required street width should be deleted to function and level service for the street. I'm not totally getting that statement. And then the second part of the statement seems to shift to a whole different topic and seems like it could be its own policy. Could you explain the first part of that? Because I guess it's a capacity thing, but then I guess...
Yeah, what that really is getting to is, let's take Mountain View Boulevard as an example. Mm-hmm. They put that in there as it's still a local street, it takes the local traffic and funnels it to Cedar Falls Way, which is our collector or arterial. But that street is so wide, has no parking on it. I mean, no one parks on it, but it was designed for parking on both sides, two lanes, I mean, one in each direction, so it's like 48 feet wide. You don't need to have it that wide. Mm-hmm. Cut it down to maybe 28, allow parking on one side if you have a party in the neighborhood, but don't build an airport if you're there. Get it down to a reasonable width. So that's the intent.
That's the intent of it. Do you think it, and it relates well to the street standards that we have in place in it, would you, under our current street standards, approve a street of that width?
No.
Whether or not that statement's there.
Well, if that statement wasn't there, I still wouldn't do it. I mean, that's my own personal.
Right.
Yeah.
All of our regulations.
It sounds like staff.
And we also have in our standards, we have those widths already defined.
Right.
Now, sure, a developer may want to go beyond those standards and provide more.
When's that?
But we don't want more. We don't want more.
And keep in mind, these are intended to, say in 5 years somebody wants to amend our street standards.
Right.
We can go back and say, well, actually,
the goal is
And the reason why, I mean, the addition was with the impervious surface was just that in the event there was some other we're trying to reinforce the fact we are trying to move towards lower impact. So,
to Scott's point, should that essentially just be its own standalone policy, the notion of impervious surface? They're certainly closely related.
Yeah, I was thinking more in the realm of roundabouts that could be designed with landscaping, so even though you might design it to accommodate the traffic, while doing so, think about how it can be designed to do that without potentially using pavement where it doesn't need to be paved, or hardened sidewalks where it doesn't need to be hardened sidewalks, or things like that. So that there was a thought about it.
So it sounds like staff is all in agreement that it's stated the way that they're happy with it. Any objection or reason?
No, not really. I guess it's just sometimes I understand, I guess there's a thought as to why it was, but the general. Do we need to be more, explicit if you can't pick that up just reading the document? Or is it like, I don't know if we give examples or anything like that, but I guess that was just something that, it makes sense now, and I agree, and I can see that now in the picture, but I guess I couldn't do it on my own. First time.
All right. Anything
else? I guess to be more explicit, we could just add, to reduce infiltration of runoff contaminants and minimize future maintenance costs.
Right, you're into a huge run-on sentence.
Yeah.
And we are trying to keep, one thing that we're trying to do with these comp plans is keep them short and sweet so people actually read them and absorb it. The longer they get, the more we lose.
Well, and what you're anticipating in that comment may not.
Yeah.
And what's the other phrase that ought to be in there, or the other thing you're trying to get at? And it seems these need to stay at a certain level. But.
Yeah, the longer the paragraph, the more attorneys will critique it.
Yeah.
Right? More opinions are invaluable.
Okay. Ready for five? Mm-hmm. Ready for five. Once, twice. Page six.
I have a general question on, like, when we put numbers on those.
Yeah.
Are most of the numbers in there, like, on the policy P1, 4, 3, like, with the cul-de-sac? Do we have those in the design standard? Like, since it's just a policy document, do we need numbers?
We don't need numbers unless we're, like, in this scenario. Maybe it should be limited to approximately 400 feet, and then when we put the standard together, we should pinpoint that. So this was a little more specific.
I was just curious, because when we put numbers in here, you're still going to have to go to the standard,
right.
The numbers
yeah.
there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
You have the six.
now you got me moving backwards. That whole notion of site, I mean, that seems like something that belongs more in the design standards than in a policy document.
You're right. This could say easily just say use the use of dead ends, streets, and cul-de-sacs should be avoided and or should be avoided and not, you know, be extensively long. And then, boom, the standard says 400 feet. So you could simplify it.
Well, I would suggest that the sentence end at including cul-de-sac. An unavoidable length of dead end street. Excuse me. I would strike it after the first sentence.
Yep. Is that administrative change, or do you just turn it around?
We could ask for.
Is there any objection to that?
Yeah, thank you.
Striking after the first sentence.
No, okay.
I object. I would strike after should be limited and put the period there. And so you do have an option for a dead end street.
So you're changing you're suggesting change the wording of the first sentence at the end, keep the first sentence.
Not the first sentence.
So it would read after the first sentence, when unavoidable, the length of a dead end street, including cul-de-sac, should be limited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yes.
Right. And then strike.
Any disagreement with that? Moving on. Great. Six. Four.
Page six, the only thing that caught my attention, is we continue to do that through this document, I noticed a couple different times. We refer to our enlightened sister city, Snoqualmie, as opposed to the city of North Bend, i.e., objective 01.6.
Well, I cut that one, and then I had the impression
objective
01.6, and I think that's intentional in this instance, isn't it? You're referring to two other entities, three other entities that you wanted actually being consulted.
So we're wanting to make sure that as we're planning trail routes, Snoqualmie's doing the same thing at the other end.
Excellent. Is that true also of
the... So should we be citing
the rest of
park
the valley?
District?
I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah. Is it just for the city of Snoqualmie?
If you're talking about jurisdictions that impact us, plan development, maintain transportation systems consistent with the city, King County, the state, I don't know, the transportation system, maybe the park district doesn't count in that regard.
Well, they have potential trails, so it doesn't hurt to include them, especially as they acquire
the school district.
They're not
a and by the time you get to by the time you get to citing five entities, should you be saying
let's just get along
parties.
Government jurisdictions act with the...
I like stating them, though, because it helped you to think about what are you connecting with.
Well, so then I'm just reposing the question, should you be adding two more government aid entities there?
Schools. I think the park. The school's not a transportation facility or system.
You can pick and choose.
They don't develop trails and roads or anything like that.
But they do have fields and things.
Well, they do develop trails. They've got 100 buses.
This was not where I was going when I brought up the issue.
I understand. But I don't feel strongly either way, so it's just, I guess, the suggestion to staff to think if there's something another that you decided.
Rob, I actually think including schools is probably good. Schools should participate. I mean, sometimes they have such a...
Well, they've got a major impact on the transportation system.
And then, and they have a lot of the resources that we all... using sharing, you want to get kids to and from those, so so let's add them.
Are we ready for goal G2?
G2 would be my edits on the separate handout, and it would be to add the language with the recognition of the greater good, respect for the health of the citizens of North Bend in our world. We hereby seek to implement with a lowercase I, and then insert after adverse impacts on insert public health.
Our world.
If I can just offer one suggestion on that, I like to keep the language more direct. So getting rid of "we hereby seek to," that way.
Because that's just explain
right into
the
it.
Word
yeah.
goal.
Is, yeah.
That's
all
what
right,
we're
go going to.
And I mean, you could also just, even in the beginning of the sentence, "for the greater good." Respect for the
law. Well, how's that going to sound consistent with other goal?
I guess I'm struggling with that.
Yeah, I mean, I see the spirit there, and I acknowledge that, but it just seems like such almost a platform-type statement in the middle of a policy manual that it might just be a little out of context. Maybe
I put that as the goal, is what
yeah.
we're doing. Yeah. I took it very literally.
I'm almost wondering if that would be better, something when we get into an introduction, or, you know, when we're looking at from a more holistic, higher level global perspective, statements like that definitely have relevance in place. I would just put out that we're going to consider it, and not that it's a bad edit.
Brendan, is what you're suggesting is that that sort of a statement is almost what comes at the beginning of the entire
yes.
yeah.
document, absolutely. Not within the transportation
right.
element of it.
Not within the policy verbiage and dialogue.
Although I like the inclusion of minimize adverse impacts on public health, the natural mm-hmm. environment, air quality, and energy consumption. So adding public health in there.
I'm wondering, and I'll make a statement, then we can move to what do we want the wording to be. As I read that, the ad for public health, which I agreed I kind of like, and then you go to natural environment and air quality, I start wanting again to go deeper. Aren't
mm-hmm.
we also talking about also water quality?
Yeah.
Aren't we also talking
yeah.
be all right? So is there a phrase that we can actually step it up?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah. encompassing.
That's
encompassing.
All of that.
Right?
Natural environment is all
it's,
encompassing.
Yeah.
Natural environment.
That's,
I took natural environment as being everything from animals and water,
yeah.
but
the physical
even air
quality.
But
well,
it is something
call it
interpretation.
Yeah, but is there
the reason why air quality is probably called out, right. correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a lot more legislation and policy that's speaking specifically to air quality separate from natural
mm-hmm.
environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why that would be called out separately, but I do like the idea of an all encompassing statement, which is.
Yeah.
Natural environment.
Well, I think so we have natural environment, so that's all encompassing, and then we call out air quality. And air quality and water quality definitely are equally as important. So if we're going to call out air, I think we should
call impacted by transportation.
Definitely. So let's call them both out. Add public health, keep natural environment.
What about the quality?
Like elk crossings?
Minimize the adverse impacts on public health, natural environment, elk quality, water quality.
Yeah.
Soil quality.
Okay. So I'm fine with removing the introductory sentence. Or I withdraw.
So it sounds like we're back to beginning the sentence with implement,
mm-hmm.
right? We added public health and water quality into the conclusion, okay? Page 7.
So after 2.1.4, I started with a new objective, and then in the city document it has its own, which I moved below.
So you're saying that in the current policy document, objective 2.02.2, you just slid down, right? Now became 2.3 in your version, right? That's what I'm. Is everybody following me?
No.
He's in. So Gary suggested an entirely new objective with a set of policy statements that then moves what is currently objective 02.2 becomes 0.02.3.
02.3.
Thank you.
So the language on Gary's page.
So he's not suggesting a change to what is currently 2.2. He's got a new objective.
Sure. Right. Mr. Chair, if I may just make it easy on everybody, if we refer to just the handout that you were given with my edits on it, the policy 2.1.5 in your city edition, 2.1.6, and objective 2.2 are all in that same handout. They're just renumbered to flow. So everything's in one edition, and we can just review that.
Makes sense. Thanks. So before going to the, could you give us kind of the overview of what you're trying to get?
Yeah, so a lot of my inability to sleep has been spent on understanding diesel emissions and what the EPA was doing and the Department of Ecology has been doing. And where I thought it really fit in our transportation plan was talking about environmental quality. And so understanding, as we've stated in the past meetings, that the number one source of pollution in our state is from transportation sources, and the most harmful is it of it comes from diesel exhaust with its 40 known carcinogens, and the health impacts that it then presents, where it gets either into our soil, our water, or our lungs. There are plenty of established reports on how bad it is and the health cost that it results from that. So if we're going to be, one, known for our environmental qualities, our trails, our mountains, and at the same time accommodate a thriving and growing trucking industry, how can we do that in a common way? And that's where I came up with these policies.
Thank you. I'm pausing to read through these. So, no objection.
Was your .2.2.2.468 your specific call out there? Is that on the on our other list? No, it isn't. And you know, I probably erred there.
Yeah, it might be better served as a as another improvement, as opposed to specifically calling out.
So I was still kind of reading, sure. And I want to ask if it's. Are others still reading?
Yes.
Okay, so pause a few more before we kind of go through them.
Pretty slow reader, and I just finished. So
I didn't want to point that out, Jim. Okay. General thoughts, comments?
General thoughts. I like the idea. I like the direction. I think some of these require a little bit more research. There are some specifics, like the one I mentioned, the cloud that may be better served elsewhere. I had another point. Well, those are my general comments.
Some of these are also beyond our authority.
I love the direction that it's going. I just feel like there are some things that, like, some wording things of required and who decides some of these things that might be beyond what
right.
we need.
Sure. Okay. And, you know, when you get into, like, sensitive populations and so forth, I mean, those type of things, I mean, all populations is really...
Like, yeah, who decides what is?
So maybe just...
In the EPA documentation, it lists specifically what are sensitive populations.
One thing to think about...
Your definition of me is not being sensitive. No, Jim already hurt my feelings.
One thing to think about is we are one of the things that has been discussed with this group and the city council is coming up with an idling ordinance. There is a draft ordinance that we have. The city council has it on their retreat agenda as to basically what we want to hear, because we've heard kind of different. We haven't had a united front yet on council direction on this ordinance. So basically, a lot of these, like, you know, North Bend shall require reduction strategies for vehicles of X years and trucks, all of that, because the way the ordinance is written is it not only addresses trucks, it addresses fire engines, city rigs, school buses, everybody who contributes to idling, including trucks, which is, you know, a big part of the problem. So a lot of this I see as what might, and this is just a suggestion, is develop an idling ordinance to address idling of all kinds. Then what happens is then you're giving direction now to go implement it in a code. So that might be one way to simplify a lot of the detail in what I think Gary's doing. And then the only other comment on the policy regarding enforce, I would say we should be enforcing our intersections now. So if we're not, I don't know if we need a policy to do that. I would say send us an email and say it does not look like you're enforcing your traffic infractions, and we can go and do that.
So a couple of broad, well, Gary, we should probably all back up and give you an opportunity if you want to say more about.
I think it would be nice to go by objective or policy, and that way we could do a discussion as the comments, and I could have a chance then to respond, because there's a couple of points that I could make. One, just from some of the comments, if we're drafting a policy and this is a policy document, then this is where the policy would go to draft the idle ordinance, not the ordinance itself. So I do support that it be in this document. As far as the sensitive populations, I'm using the same wording that I see in the official documentation in those standards. I guess as far as idle reduction strategies on vehicles with engines manufactured between these years, one, the years are specific because the equipment doesn't work on the older models, and on 2008, the engines are a lot cleaner. And some of, if you go to Mack or Peterbilt or these other trucking websites, they have what's called it's like a Built Green or something from the EPA program, where if you get a long haul truck, it already comes with all this plug-in stuff.
Smart way.
But, if you want to take it by number, then we can work through it.
I guess it's kind of up to, it's up to commissioners to how they would like to proceed.
Were you suggesting that we have an objective that talks about emissions, but one of the points of that objection is to develop the ordinance and enforce it, and then in that, then these other specific items be addressed. So the policy part would actually be here, that is part of an objective. But then it's handled in a different
different document.
The detail is usually in the ordinance. However, what Gary, I think, is saying is there's some elements that he feels is needs to be in the policy to better direct the ordinance. And I think that's a legitimate comment. So I think whatever policy you come up with that says go develop an idling ordinance that includes XYZ type of
policy. I wasn't sure if you, maybe I was misunderstanding that we don't talk about the ordinance. Okay.
And I was going to kind of go with that same flow, so I appreciate that clarification. I guess my comments would be, I like the, you know, the overall rejection of direction, and I do think there is a policy statement to be made here. I think there somewhere is probably a balance between what's being specifically called out versus what is a policy statement to be suggested through what should be in the ordinance. Somewhere then there's a balance. My own request will be that staff take this back and come back to us with suggestions on here's what really can't be in there because it's not within our authority to do so. And here would be some suggested wording that might address some of these concerns so that we can kind of look at that in context as well. Beyond that, I'd say for my own sense, where I would be looking for modification are on things that are directed at a very specific location, that if that location is not the city of South Bend, that's our location. It's not Truck Town. It's not Exit 34. It's the city of North Bend, right? So if we're going after, and that kind of goes to what your comment was, Jenna, if it's not just about semi-trucks, commercial semi-trucks that are within our community, it is about vehicle emissions. That's what we should be addressing, right?
I agree.
And just even despite the comments, and I understand about specifically diesel, I don't know that when I got stopped on the first sentence, I thought, well, diesel emissions are a vehicle emission. It seemed repetitive to me. I understand, though, when you stated the specific concerns about diesel in particular, why you might want that. I would myself, I can go either way, but it did seem redundant to me because it is all part of. But that's just a general comment. So,
well, do we
want
to limit to just diesel? I mean, if we say vehicle emissions, we're just saying all.
Right.
Well, that's kind of my point. I personally would stop at vehicle emissions.
Yeah, diesel doesn't have a much different health hazard.
You can specify the diesel specific things as a policy then, right?
I
don't
know. I think your overall goal or the overall goal is to reduce emissions and idling. However, there are a lot of programs specifically for diesel
for
engines
right.
that aren't available for passenger cars.
So you call those out? Yeah.
I don't call specific things out. I'm just saying that for a diesel engine, there's a lot of equipment and apparatus and options that are out there mm-hmm. that don't apply to a passenger vehicle. You're not going to get an auxiliary power unit on your car.
You know, there's about five things that are kind of floating around all at the same time, it seems like. Maybe it's 50. But I get the concept of we want to apply this to the city. All vehicles, for starters, that's a great blanket. But there's also, because we're narrowing down on the focus of Truck Town and the activity that occurs there, that might end up being, who knows, but it may end up being its own zone.
Well, I guess my point would be is that instead of citing Truck Town, there was one of the statements. See if I can spot it quickly. It was a broader. If you were addressing more that type of concentrated commercial activity, so instead of citing the specific geographic area, let's cite what the concentrated activity was.
Certainly,
which we certainly expect. Only right now applies to this one area.
You know, one, because what we have.
Can I,
Could we just maybe make some adjustments here, and that way we can work our way to the next item? I'd like to kind of work through and be open to some changes here, so that way we can work down the list. Is that sure. acceptable to the chair?
It's certainly acceptable to me. It's up to the
So I'd like to help this out and move to strike in Objective 2.2b the words Interstate 90 and Exit 34. Move to strike.
Strike as you wish. You're still showing with us for the first time.
It's yours, man.
Yep. No objection? Okay.
Remember the last access by this exit? The last?
Yes. Access by this exit. And then I would move to strike policy P2.2.2.
So take that out.
Yes.
I read that very carefully.
Yeah. I might see if we can add that back into our item number 4 objectives.
All right.
Okay, so then if you want to continue down to 2.2.3, anything there?
Can I just ask a question about the first A bullet?
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing that I thought when I read that was, so who decides what those areas are? So children's obvious at school. When we start talking about elderly, I mean,
we have the home here in town, hospitals.
Well, actually, can you tell me where an area for children is?
School.
But it also
I've
every
had children in my home.
Right. So that was
that
what I was trying to get to.
Children.
Is there's a lot of elderly people who live in my neighborhood. Just right.
So
who
what
decides?
You're trying to get at is concentrations, right?
Well, let me ask this question. So I guess the first thing says reduce the negative impacts, negative health effects of the vehicle emissions, and then we further define the priority of who should be reduced more quickly. So maybe, and you know, children and the elderly are
well,
very important.
It's the focus of those areas.
Right.
Reducing.
As opposed to the whole city. More susceptible to the asthma and other things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just looked at it. I was like, well, who decides? And what if I live in an area that I don't have a lot of elderly and kids, but this matters to me? So
we're going
to
park all the trucks by you.
So,
you know,
yeah. So I just struggled with, like, so who decides?
If I was writing this idle ordinance, I'd just say we have a 5-minute idle for all vehicles and
wherever.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I feel like it doesn't matter. There should be no prioritization of an area. It's
so
maybe you just stated your policy.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe you just stated your policy. Develop an idling ordinance that restricts idling of all kinds for not more than 5 minutes.
See, that's the thing. Yeah.
People sitting with their kids waiting for the bus.
This is the play. This is the other rub that I was kind of feeling. What is it that's bothering me? First of all, I give you huge credit for, even if you were stuck in the airport.
Oh, this is monumental.
Okay, this is great thought process. It gives everybody a great place to start, and if every single word of this doesn't end up in it, you haven't wasted a dime of your time. There's a piece of this that I read through all of this, and it may be just generic, but using the example of 10 minutes idle anybody in the city, if I decide to go start my wife's car in the morning so that it can be warmed up and it takes 12 minutes and somebody gives me a ticket or any other citation further than a dirty look, I will go ballistic.
Because you're across the street from the school.
No, it's the whole concept of blanket ideas that everybody's got to follow. There's not a good rationale if we're trying to attack semi-trucks that came from Idaho.
I'd
so
say
emissions in general policy, it seems, though. I mean, you're not
sure,
going to throw garbage
but
on
I would
ground
say
just know that you're going to get in trouble and it's not, you know, it's not.
That is actually a great analogy.
You know, like, that's okay, it's just to a different level. You don't see it, so you're not feeling you're impacting it. I think everybody needs to be held to the standard.
I don't disagree with you. And we all upgrade our vehicles when they wear out, and we all start pumping ethanol gas when we're told, and we're all following the rules. I guess I'm just starting to sense in what we're doing here that although the idea, the grand idea, is awesome, let's get where we can all, you know, breathe from the tailpipe. But we're not there yet, and we're gonna, I think, muddy the focus when we're really trying to take care of a very clear, definable problem that the city inherited through annexation.
So I guess I would wonder what is the right way to proceed. Do we want to put the actual wording in our policy document and shorten it up quite a bit, and or go a different direction? I'm open.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of hearing it's almost a different thought. That's what's good about the debate. It's almost a different place than where I was going and saying let's go very broad. And you're saying, well,
we got to be careful.
If what you're after is this very narrow, let's go very narrow. Right?
Yeah, and I can almost circle back to the zone point I made earlier. If we had a zone, arguably the activity that happens in this particular area is definable. It's a geographic definition,
right?
And that might give us the focus to say what we need to talk about in that zone. Because this idea so that you start to ripple out through the whole city, and there's just so much of it doesn't fit.
With respect, I have concerns. The buses that come to the outlet mall that idle for passengers, even the blood donation bus that I was on, you know, burns all day long. Then we have the school buses that can idle in front of the schools where the fumes go right in through the door. So I don't want to restrict it to truck town. I don't want to restrict it to any certain industry. I think it should just be a broad.
Why can't we, you guys, do it over certain GVW of a vehicle?
Yeah, I think we'll keep the first the conversation within the commission, and then I saw your hand go up as well. Sure, I'll open up to the public after we have some comments. Thank you.
Does anybody need a water? I find
yes, them? Please.
Something liquid.
Single malt.
So, Gary, could I make it? So if I were going to make an edit on here in the spirit of what you're doing, in your objective statement 2.2, I would simply make the statement: reduce the negative health effects of vehicle emissions. Period. And I would personally be cutting everything after it.
Yeah.
No specific, no A, no B.
No. I mean, that is the way this document, I mean, I'm going to step away from, I've got, I'm kind of backwards on the way that we're looking at what is policy objective, but stepping away from that whole argument about the definition of the words, but that's if that's the preamble to the things that follow.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the most encompassing statement that you make, which is your what I would be calling the goal is to reduce negative health effects of vehicle emissions. Yeah. Now, how do I want to go about that?
Here's the policies.
Here's the policies we're seeking to suggest.
So your thought is to strike A, 2.2.A?
And B. I'm suggesting that the objective you're trying to get to is to reduce the negative health effects of vehicle emissions, period.
And then the how part probably needs another 15 paragraphs in addition to what's here.
Well, and with the health effects, I mean, it'd almost be a twofold there. It's human health and natural health. So if we're going to stick with one bold policy statement, we may want that kind of clarification because your subpoints are speaking specifically to air, surface water, and so forth, as well as public health in concentrated specialized areas. So maybe the go with one broad statement.
Well, for instance, so to not lose what you're trying to capture there with your statement B, I might see that as being a policy statement, and I might preamble it more with saying, ensure that the draft city idling ordinance contain
policies that
the following.
Right. That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm giving the direction that I want. I want that enabling legislation to address these issues.
So were you thinking, Gary, this was just focused on idle? Is that where the
Idle and emissions.
Its thought process started there.
Idle and emissions.
So,
and emissions, yeah.
So consider an ordinance.
Emissions.
An ordinance that defines idling by time, by gross vehicle weight.
Location.
And or location. I mean, I'm trying to get to the city-wide ordinance conversation because that's easier than creating a zone.
Right.
And so then it's a matter of defining what the ordinance says, which it may just be as simple as you can't idle past X amount of time. You know, I don't mean to ramble here. But the whole crafting of it is almost like it's going to need to be set up from folks with expertise in legalese so that it's an ordinance that's enforceable.
That's what ordinance writing is about.
Right. So are we now creating an ordinance? Does that fit still with what your vision was?
It does. In some of the policies that I read that we have around our country, we're actually one that doesn't have one statewide, which makes us, you know, a great initiative to do this statewide. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my understanding, too.
And one of the things I liked about one of the policies I read was one said 5 minutes of every hour you could idle. And it made a lot of sense to me because we have the trucks that are going to be stuffed at the base of the pass, and if they don't have the hookup, so let's say our truck stop became electrified, 60 hookups, but we have 300 trucks. How are they going to get warm? And so if they don't have their own equipment, I have concerns about that. So my one thought of, yeah, it would be great, but you can't. You have to make some exception for either pass closure or allow them 5 minutes of every hour to heat up. And then buses at our outlet mall, they have tourists, so the same thing applies. Do we want to allow them to idle for 15 minutes while they're loading and people are running from shops? And we don't want to discourage tourism activities. So I think it should be a carefully crafted guidance. And I don't know that I wanted to just do that and close forever. So yep. I'm certainly amenable to that. You guys, if we want to whiteboard this, however you want to do it, or are those the only things we should consider? And how do we get to an overall statement?
Right? Well, it sounds like, because the draft ordinance that we have right now, which we can provide, is just a draft. It's just a first start. And then what it's going to do is it's going to go back through the public process. So it will be in this forum. I say that because it's not. It is no. Is it a development?
Ordinance come through.
Development regulations do, but like
city ordinance council.
Yeah. So this might go directly to city council, but either way, there's a public forum to troubleshoot these issues. Because I think what you'll see when you see an ordinance, because there's also caveats that say if it's below X degrees and there's any safety issues with regard to heating passengers, you know, you might have a different discussion.
Yeah.
So I think you're getting into the details that really will get flushed out when the ordinance isn't crying.
So,
yeah.
So could I suggest for us to be able to move on? I mean, I think I feel I've got a pretty good sense of what you're going. We've got some feedback. As I said, I personally want city staff's input on what we can and cannot say, and we've made a few edits. Are there other things that other commissioners want taken into consideration for staff to think about as they come back? And then I want to get a little feedback from the public.
We're at the draft stage of this, correct?
Yeah.
So whatever we leave from tonight is still a draft.
Absolutely.
So
my takeaway, my two cents, is to go with a more general statement, how to bring like a good policy, and then we do all the detail and clean up with the ordinance. I like what's listed here, and I echo the thoughts that your time is not wasted, this is valuable. I'm just wondering if some of this can be parsed out.
So, good.
I just, I thought I had read some of this before, so can you tell me P215, P216? I feel like some of this is repetitive then, so I don't know if...
Yeah, 2.2.5, which is now 2.2.9, is the same in...
No. 2.1.5, 2.1.6.
The original.
Sorry, that's the original, and it's now 2.2.5.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, are you totally back in another section?
Okay, I'm sorry, I must have missed your clarification on that earlier.
No, that's wrong.
I put it
and just renumbered it.
Okay,
all right. One.
So can I
the telecommuting point?
So if I could suggest that I'm almost where I could put this into a motion, but I'm going to throw it out first, kind of backwards. If we were to incorporate the language that we've now gone through and modified even further into the existing draft, in other words, incorporate this as it's written into the existing draft, along with a request from staff that it's reviewed for... What's the term? Efficacy? Does it really work? Is that something that could be done?
Well, okay, so the original staff recommended policy was 2.1.6 that addressed the general development idling ordinance that does this.
Right.
What I think we would need to know are your top priorities that we could say that include... A, B, and C, that address A, B, and C, because what I don't want to do is go away and try to take Gary's thinking and put it into...
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be easier to really get some clear direction on what you guys want.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying. I feel like we have, unless I'm just discussing here still, I'm feeling like I've read this enough to say, okay, in concept, I agree with it. There's a lot of language here that probably is going to need to be manipulated for it to be effective and in fitting with the rest of this draft before it becomes codified. And I'm thinking the staff's the best place to go with that.
But I don't think it's just a cut and paste this, because we've already talked about stuff that we would whack out of here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I heard we did a few of that, a little of those.
Well, right? Like, for example,
yeah.
2.2.5, I'm just not sure. The North End shall require correct facilities employ this high-frequency radio. That now requires us to communicate with the drivers, for the drivers to communicate with the truck stop, which is somewhat out of our capabilities, I think.
You could do an AM channel, radio channel broadcast. You turn this sentence, and it's just repeated over and over and over.
Yeah.
When the truck stop is full, please go to downtown Seattle.
And what might make more sense is the policy says, might say work with truck stop owners to implement a radio technology for drivers.
Right. So to me,
yeah.
That's what I'm asking for out of staff is to look at that and say,
sure.
We don't know how we would do
realistic.
This. Would this make sense to do it? So I agree. Maybe we come back around and we'll kind of walk down through these and say yes, no. We think take this one. This policy statement should be kept in here, or this one's ready to go before if that's okay.
And so I would say on 2.2.5, I'm flexible, and the reason why is I've been working with some of the port commissioners to try and get them to use that technology so that, they're going to be on board with other ports, and
maybe you want to
they can improve lot flow, which will allow them to communicate with drivers here to tell them when they should go from here to there. Yeah. So I'm certainly flexible on that. The one right below that 2.2.6, I really think is a great thing for the city of North Bend to do, whether it's in the TV room at the cafe or if it's in a kiosk somewhere in the gas station over there. There are so many programs and rebates, not only for the lot owner but for the drivers, that one APU can, what it costs in 1 year, it saves them enough fuel after that year that it's the cost is recuperated. So.
I guess just jumping back up to 2.2.4, does the city have, can they actually, I guess, require, you know, I mean, it would be nice to have that, but I mean, that's a money thing, and so.
That's policy.
Right, I guess is that statement the way it's stated? Is it a policy? Because it's like, you are to install these.
And what I made a suggestion was that you put down organizations with fleets instead of just two entities here, because there might be some other organizations here that have multiple cars that need to,
for service,
you know, or something like that, you know, school district. Well, the school district is one of those, yeah, okay.
And that one you might just write the word encourage.
Encourage.
Because, like, for example, Tenor Electric, we can encourage them to to implement these.
So I know where I'm going to go with my suggestions on what the staff should be saying or not. If the commissioners are okay, I'm going to open and get a little public comment. So
on that specific thing, or and then we'll continue to go through the doc.
I think the comment that they want to make is pertinent to this topic, so I'd like to take it while we're in this section. Sure, what I saw your hand go up. You want to go?
Regarding those comments in 2.2.2.2, in the compendium document, the ATRI compendium of the 31 or 2 states that have a continuum of island ordinances, so that they're somewhat similar and connected. They create an ordinance that says you will, and then it says it gives some exemptions or exceptions based on weather, emergency equipment, a bus that's loading or unloading passengers, so on and so forth. And a lot of these things, like keeping the school bus warm or keeping the tourists warm down there at APU, you get them at Kathy's shop, and in a year, it's paid for. And that solves the problem. The other thing that this compendium brings forth is the gradual rollout of these requirements. So when you start your ordinance, you have an ordinance that says this, except for, and this is exempt until June 10th, then in January 1 of next year, such and such kicks in. So you have 2 years to cycle into the process. And you also have people in the private sector get out giving grants to the locals as well as the transportation people for these kinds of equipment that mitigate all these issues that you're talking about, so that the bus drivers and the local fleets have the ability to resolve their issues with the help of others, most of which is government money. And then it gradually comes into force. If you gut the idle ordinance on the front end so that all this stuff is okay, you're never going to get any teeth into it. Put in the teeth and you write exemptions and timelines at which these things come into play.
I think all the things you're suggesting or things you're saying are part of what should go in that model ordinance, is that right? In the model ordinance?
As it's presented, oftentimes, I mean, no one's seen the document, who's going to talk about it, and it may very well be that it has been changed to be no idle ordinance or idle ordinance light, and without what the future circumstances, you go backwards. You make it stout, but you make the first 6 months or first year light and let it work in so that people can go out and make their fleets prime, regardless of whether they're public or private.
Thank you. Did you have any you wanted to?
Okay.
All right, great. Okay. Other comment from commissioners? So I'll take a crack at this and object, and I'll back right up. So I already made my statement about what I think the objective and how that should read. I would say 2.2.1, that's part of the ordinance, so I would take that out. I think, Gary, you've already said 2.2.2 probably is an item for the TIP that comes out. 2.2.3, I think that goes into the ordinance, that comes out. 2.2.4, I would say stays. 2.2.5.
Stays, but as amended for fleet.
Yes, I'm really more addressing the concept of the policy versus what the statement is, because yes, I would be striking Snoqualmie School District from there. 2.2.5, I say stays. 2.2.6, I'd say stay. And 2.2.7, I just don't know.
So 5 can stay if we can figure out how to change wording so that it's something
working
that,
with right, the Chuck yeah. Staff on
right, again, it's I think it's a good policy statement.
Yeah.
I just don't think the wording's right.
Yeah.
Let WashDOT be the sponsor of that. It's yeah. their problem.
Well, what we can do, is based on what you just went through, we can provide amended proposed.
That's what I'm trying to get to, is I'm saying other things that I'm saying should be part of this policy statement. I need the city staff to suggest back.
Yeah.
What would need to be amended to make it work.
And then
Gary's got to decide in the end.
You made a mention that you would strike Snoqualmie School District, and I would like to know your reasoning.
So I don't think we have the ability to
require
another jurisdiction to do that.
Well, and I think what Ron was suggesting is there's a lot of fleet, so what we want to say is encourage or provide incentives for or something so we can get these.
Yeah, weren't there in some of the docs that I read something about there were like programs or something. I thought there were actually like grants and stuff of things that you can do to
Puget
encourage.
Sound Clean Air Agency did a grant. They've already converted 213 school buses with DOC equipment, and 600 more are on order. There's
to be even
but
more.
There's a whole bunch of school
districts. Well, yeah, to be even more clear on what I might say about that, I might even find myself willing to make the statement that the city shall. Because we do have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then a separate statement might be to encourage,
other
vehicle fleets to take advantage of, blah, 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 right?
Yep.
So I'm not personally making a statement around that. I agree with kind of.
So is that correct, though? You were saying we can offer incentives to, but not require.
Well, for the emission reduction devices.
Yes.
You guys are actually talking about what the state should be requiring everybody to do.
Federal.
You're beyond.
This is federal.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, no,
everybody
the state.
The
I
state?
Mean, like, we go to the emissions
okay.
test for our cars all the time. You get the test and you have to pass the PEP. These new standards that you're talking about should actually be almost top down from the state.
Maybe they will be.
They probably will, but. Some point, right? Maybe you guys can lead the charge.
Lead the way again.
Thanks, Gary.
Other thoughts? I mean, this is a great one again. I echo the same thing. There's a lot of thought in this. This is a huge one for us. So I don't want to rush us off of it. On the other hand, we've been on it for about 25 minutes. We good?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything as we move into what pushes into page 8 there that we missed? Okay, I think that takes care of everything that's under the objective 2.2 and this and the altered 2.2 would become 2.3. Anything else on back to the original document, page 7? Starting 3.1. Any other comments there?
Just on 3.1.1, the last word, market. You sort of set the parking demand.
Be specific, please, Scott.
Or the policy 3.1.1. Yeah, establish and implement vehicle parking maximums and reduce or eliminate vehicle parking minimums in the city's parking regulations to reduce the oversupply of vehicle parking not required by the market.
That wasn't meaning the market as in like the grocery store.
No, I know that. You meant like market, like what's true, but that's why I was just like just saying parking demand.
Yeah, that's fine.
More explicit.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking of grocery
store. So what I think you're trying to get to is that suggests that you're pulling stuff out of a crystal ball to say how many parking spaces are needed in the market.
In the market.
No, there's numbers. Planners.
Well, it's based on structure, right?
Sort of. I mean, right now
structure.
our parking requirements are definitely overparked.
Look at the outlet mall as an example. Even in Christmas, you don't see it full.
Right. That's the way I read that one. Yeah. It's getting at, we're requiring a much higher standard than necessary, and certainly than supports the rest of this.
Rely on what the demand really is, not
right.
What the min-max is saying.
Okay. Good there. Page 8.
Hang on a minute. I'm tuning into this because I've got a couple of examples in my head right now that the value of a piece of real estate was not tied to the building or the square footage of the building. It was tied to the number of parking spaces that access the building. So as you're bringing this up, I'm wondering, is this a good time to think that through again? Because if the city is the entity establishing and implementing maximums, that may not be the right way to go. Just every one of these shops out on the street will tell you they need more parking. Probably the folks in the North Bend Outlet Mall, every merchant, if you ask them, would say, yeah, we need more parking. I got people walking across the street to come here. They don't even come in anymore because it's too far away. So I don't want to go this the wrong direction on that.
I think what we're trying to say is when you're implementing parking, every retail developer is going to build the minimum without even questioning because they need the parking. So the minimum is kind of it doesn't matter. It's a code provision that. So really what we're talking about is if we want to deal with parking, it's like we know, like for example, grocery stores want, what's their policy? Anyway.
5,000.
What is it?
5,000.
Okay.
5,000.
Yeah, it's somewhere right. It's quite a bit. So that's where, we know, if you guys follow me, I'm not explaining myself very well.
It is getting late.
Yeah. It's only because I know you so well.
Give me certain latitude.
But, all right.
You don't want to see more about that.
Be careful that you don't end up
worried about
capping.
One, though, is you build a structure for a particular use. That use goes away, and a different use comes in there and doesn't have enough parking for that use. Then you've only developed it for the market for the first use and not for
the
life of
structures. Uses. Yep.
Well, it's more again. It's from my perspective. From that, what you're trying to get to is within the allowable uses of that zoning. Does it meet some standard that makes sense for the zone?
Right. I've taken us off track, and I apologize.
But I'm gonna forgive you one more time because you got to go to the next time.
It's not a good trade.
More on 7. 8.
Page 8.
And then you guys tell me how much further you want to go as well. Somebody's going to die on me here, but we're getting there. 9.
8.
All right. You got to go.
This
you got to
number
speak
number
up, man.
3.1.5. If we had those numbers already for the pathways, the final standards would.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good point. Okay. Pausing slightly more expediently.
We've already gone to page 9.
All right.
About
9.
Go back to page 8.
Oh, see?
It's not a change. It's just a note. Policy 3.1.1. really addresses the issue along 140th Street. Mm-hmm. It encourages the development of sidewalks and pedestrian facilities and stuff like that because that is a collector street. So,
see, I hate it when you draw my attention back.
I didn't know about it until I just read it. So.
Yeah, and you draw my attention back, and I'm wondering why we're calling bicycles out. One of the things, and I'll just make this as a common statement, I'm not going to ask for a specific change, but I noticed through several of the different statements that I read calling out very specific types of transportation or something. And to me, would we address it better through multimodal or similar wording that is saying, you know, we're not trying to define whether you're riding a bike, a unicycle, a
in this case, we're thinking scooter. Specifically of a bicycle lane, though. So that's something that wouldn't be.
That's fair. I'm just simply saying because the word bicycle jumped out at me and it reminded me of a comment that I wanted to make. There are other areas in here, so I'm not asking for specific. Just think about that one.
These are also public streets.
Right, that we're not providing bicycle lanes currently on local streets.
But that we don't say local, we say public. Mm-hmm. So we should write using local. Then.
Nine still?
Nine?
Yeah. Well, it's just a dimension number, numerical call to get.
No, 3111.
Maybe that's just something that goes back and go through.
Where no, yeah, the numbers will all
oh,
get
updating the run. Anything else on any of the nine? Yeah.
I had one on 10. Okay.
Can I hold on to 9 for 1 second?
Sure.
So the last sentence, 3118, paving loop construction will be allowed. The word only caught my attention. Mm-hmm. Are we really that clear?
Where are you?
Bottom of page 9.
3118.
Mm-hmm. Only if.
So there are two exceptions in the world, apparently.
Payment in lieu, only if.
We wrestled with this one, and in the end, we want the development to paper and build it, the capital improvements that are associated with its impacts. There are a couple scenarios, and this is what we kind of came up with. We did ponder this one. We just didn't change this.
The purpose of this is so that we don't get things going in piecemeal, and that we can collect the funds as mitigation, and then put it under a city project that would provide a more uniform and larger project.
Would an example be, I know that we've got, what, about 100 feet of sidewalk on North Bend Way in front of the storage unit and miles of nothing on either side of it. Might be an example
might
where you would
example.
Apply that.
Sure.
Right. A good example we've been wrestling with is Maloney Grove. Because where we're on Maloney Grove, we're getting one, like a short plat here, short plat there.
Yeah.
And to boot, the right-of-way doesn't line up. So if we put the sidewalk where it's supposed to go,
which is
it's totally out of sync with the rest of the street.
Right.
So what we've been doing there is actually going through,
money.
Yeah. And then what we'll have to do is build Maloney Grove as one big, except for Cedar Falls, because they were big enough that it made sense.
Mm-hmm. My question is, how long is it going to sit like that? I mean, taking the money, and
yeah,
it could be several years before the next group comes in adjacent to it to fill in.
But if we go out and we get a grant or something, at least we have something to match it with. Mm. And they, regardless, it's not ideal. But like what Kirkland does, which I actually think is really a great way, is they go to the beginning of the street and they actually construct. They actually give the developer a 25%
discount
if they take their construction to the beginning of the street and start at the beginning of the street. The downfall there, though, is the impact then isn't to the developer's property. All of a sudden, Joe Schmo, who could be not wanting a sidewalk in front of this property, is now getting a sidewalk. So there's, I'm sure, a lot of other issues that come with that process. It's a tough issue.
It's just not clean.
Yeah.
The best way to go about it is to have the infrastructure built when the development's, and it's a done deal.
Yeah, I've seen it where cities require the entire, on both sides of the street, put in before any development inside the property, and it's in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I suppose you can't, because then again, you have
depends how much aggregation you can do.
Sidewalk and curb.
So are you suggesting
so my comment
a change?
Was, the thought that came to mind to amend my problem was change the wording from only up to under the following conditions. That allows the only if to go away. Somebody gets creative and says, how about this? They still have an option to discuss it.
Objection.
Second.
No questions. Okay.
Just to give you some background on that mini storage on North Benway, that went in when it was in King County.
Yeah.
So if we didn't have the applicant collect the money, we wanted to get something from them. We said, building.
It's just a good example of, wow, that don't do as much. Are we on 10?
Yeah. Just wanted to see if we could add something from the bicycle facility for 3.2.3. This is more of a personal thing, but something regarding maintenance program to keep the facilities, I guess, clear for bicyclists. I mean, that's one thing as a bicyclist in this community that I've struggled with is that, especially in the spring when you're trying to use the, we don't have a lot of straight bicycle, but even using the shoulders, there's just a lot of debris and things on them that, you know, restrict the use of the paths. So maybe just something that I think adds to that.
So you're asking staff to consider some an addition there.
That is a good policy.
Something like, you know, I mean, this program to help keep paths free of objects and debris here.
But also adding it to the gutter system and any sort of functional equipment that goes in that is bike friendly. So, you know, the gutters aren't so wide.
Yeah. Entire drainage systems.
Yeah. You know, there's just different street works.
Yeah.
I even.
Yeah, actually, the older versions of those, now they're all bike friendly. The new ones that you buy, like the grades, don't run.
The new ones we buy? And implement or the new ones?
The new ones that are being built, that hopefully are being purchased.
And being installed.
We're on a 45.
But I don't know if that would add into here, you know, just because that adds into the safety and, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than going 30, 40 miles an hour on the road.
Into a drain line,
yeah. Okay, 11. And 12.
Just a question. So when we say depot, what exactly?
The railroad.
That word comes up a few times. Or 4.1.12.
You mean the train depot?
So it probably should be more train specific.
Yeah.
Though,
right.
Okay.
Or is that a bus depot?
Yeah,
it was a
parking
lot.
We'll put train. It's the train depot.
That's the train.
Yeah. Good catch. Anything else on 12?
It's really a bad location, but it's
13? I say overall, you guys are making it easy.
Where are we at with all of these numbers? 13. Are they not matching?
13?
Your other edits at the very
capital
end, right
facility.
There.
Capital facility.
Other page.
Yes, I believe so. Okay. I didn't expect we'll get there.
Anybody for 14?
I just have a quick question. Are we going to go in here? Maybe we skip it. I missed it. About any sort of equipment, traffic light equipment, and those type of things. For example, I'm thinking of the big box right down here in the corner of North Bend Way. It's this huge
signalization.
Any of those type of. Would that be this particular section, or is it in here? As far as when we start developing intersections and having to have those mechanical features in public view, in line of sight, doing it in a more aesthetic way. Or work towards,
you know, like get a vault underground.
Well,
where
or
you can't
even
see
finding
it all.
Good ways to, for example, we've got the artwork with the poles, the 4x6 poles, you know, the art. And some things like that could go good in front of some structure that's needed, or I don't know.
You're actually bringing up a topic that we battle with WashDOT all the time about. There are ways that a lot of those things you can't put underground for whatever reasons
that they determine.
There are, I have some seen some creative applications where people, you know, cities, I think even up in Canada, they paint them all, and they paint them artistically.
Yep.
So
yep. Which here we're not allowed to do, because if we proposed something of that nature in one of the locations in a certain other city, and we're told by WashDOT,
nope.
Well, we shouldn't ask.
It's hard to get the signal installed.
How far away? I know that intersection's been developed for some time, but I mean, either that big box was further removed or, you know, different locations.
Those are controlled by WashDOT. Yeah. We have no say in those.
For every.
Yeah, and they have certain standards, distance to the street, to the pole, they have to be within.
They wouldn't even let us plug our Christmas tree into that.
Now, the only area that we had some sort of flexibility in with the signal that we just put in at Park Street was to put a colorized, a color version of the pole in as opposed to the satin chrome, whatever that was that they have. They allowed us to say, well, for a little extra charge, you can have a colored one. So we went with that. Well, as far as we could go.
I suppose from a policy statement, we could have something around here encourage the city to
seek those.
Seek change with WashDOT or something like that.
If
you wanted to craft something like that and suggest it.
Maybe it looks like a big
bulb.
I'll give it a thought.
Responsibility.
Would this be the extra area, though?
Yeah, we could try to put something together that addresses.
Okay.
That's something the planner would always.
Anything else on 14?
Good idea.
Going to 15. Going to 16.
Do we really have a high number of folks that actually use Metro, King County Metro, and pretty low volume?
I have done it.
Yeah.
It's low volume. Yeah,
it's pretty low. And I won't do it again.
I saw people on the bus coming back at 6 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The ridership's increasing. It's gone up 100% in the last couple months.
I mean, I guess, you know, because I read through a lot of the public transportation stuff in here, and I was just like, so this is great, and like we have the thing, you know, to encourage people to carpool. It's like,
yeah, but we will get there.
Doesn't seem like it's the culture. We have this culture here of like we love where we live and, you know, preserving stuff, but we all drive.
Yeah, but you know, they're saying I-90 is going to be tolled in 3 years, and then that there's going to be more tolling and more tolling. And at some critical point, you're going to start getting people to change their habits.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, with the requirements we have for meeting some of the needs and the requirements that need to go into our transportation plan, those are a lot of what we need to meet to be able to get grant dollars and what have you. Even though we don't have the ridership to justify a lot of those things, we really need those language.
Well, I'm sure we accommodate it.
Metro has my name on their website for contact regarding our park and ride. I get about one email or phone call a month on people inquiring about the park and ride and wanting to use it. More of them are using it for carpooling as opposed to catching the bus.
Sure.
So it is.
Which is a good.
Yeah. You know, people are actually starting to use it.
Can I sell my boat there?
Assuming you excluded those calls from his comments. Anything else on 16?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just back on 15, just so we're in line on 6.4.5. We said air and water quality in the other area, so it's just suggesting that we include water quality in 6.4.5.
Good suggestion.
Sorry.
What page are you on?
15. Sorry.
Oh.
15 in red.
Okay.
Yes. Just include water quality.
Okay. Good one. 16. Look out. Page 17. Moving on to 18. This one's going to take a while. Page 18 is intense. At 9:45. What is your last piece? Is this part of another section? Right?
Yeah. at one of our meetings, it was suggested I draft something on our trucking, and so this is what I pulled out. I'd be happy to discuss it at the next meeting.
So, well, and it's.
Yeah. Is that a motion to table that?
Move the table back. Second.
My brain.
But you all have to read it to
table
with that.
You have to come in. All right. So.
So, question back to this concept. So this is not. This has been tabled, but this is being incorporated in the working draft, right? So the next meeting, we're going to see this inserted with the document that we get.
Minus the changes.
Okay, right, within the changes.
So we'll be able to kind of.
So now we're to one document. Yeah. My other question is with the acceptance what approval of all the pages we didn't comment on. Continue to carry these. This is in edited form, or have we accepted this language and we're keeping moving on?
We're going to keep it in edited.
We'll continue to see it in edited form, right? Okay, good. Just want to be sure of that.
Also, because we want the council to know your edits versus the old documents. So you'll go to council in edited form.
In red line.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Any other questions around transportation as number item 5?
The target where this should go to council?
Well, next time we come back, we're coming back with the whole element, which will include all the changes you made tonight. So you'll have to re-review the policies, but hopefully you'll get through those quickly. Then you're going to have to review the whole document. If you can get through the document next meeting, we could move it up along at that meeting.
How large?
We're trying to reduce it by a lot. It's a big element, and there's a lot of languages. Is it really necessary?
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see a lot of deleting. So really, I don't know, because I don't know how. I feel confident you guys can get through it, because a lot of it is more general language.
More just about, this is an arterial, this is a collector.
Oh, okay.
So and obviously that depends. I saw that in the previous meeting that the goal was the next meeting you were hoping to get a motion, but obviously it depends on where we are.
Yeah, and we decided it was just too much information. I mean, it's a big topic, a big element.
So that's kind of a good segue to something that I wanted to share with the group tonight, just an observation after my 2.5 years or so. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that we have on our plate all the time, and that we come to the meetings and sometimes we sit here till 10 o'clock. And it's almost like, in my head, I say, huh, not that I have a lot of free time, but does it really validate that we need another session a month occasionally to just kind of crank through some of these things? Because, I mean, it takes a lot of time to go through this, and I feel like we got to the end of this and we kind of just missed things. It's like, okay, yeah, we're done. Or in one meeting, we have so much to cover, and so in our free time, you get done with something sooner than maybe we should. So just wanted to kind of to toss out there the idea of, if necessary, should we meet more often? Should we always schedule an extra meeting, or maybe just amongst us, depending on what the topic is? Or because we have that whole plan for the entire year that's kind of busy. So just
well,
a recommendation.
Well, we always have the ability to, with the proper public notice, to schedule another session. I feel that both you all as commissioners and staff does a very good job of helping us keep organized and readjusting things. And I think there's always, in general, there are always so many things that we could be dealing with that we could meet weekly, and we would
but
still be
like,
in the same
spot. I feel like last year especially that we kept pushing stuff. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't get to it, so we'll do it next time. And then next time we come and we push that. And there are actually a couple public hearings that we pushed, mm-hmm. and that just felt really wrong to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we say our next meeting we're going to have a public hearing, we better have that public hearing. Especially because there's someone sitting here who, okay, so I know that I'm going to come back to the next one because we're going to have this public hearing.
I don't know that we
so,
did we pass any public hearings the night of the hearing? We delayed a few public hearings, which were, my recollection was more around staff needed additional time for research.
There was one, I don't remember the one specifically, but I came thinking, oh, we were having a public hearing, and then we did it.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong, but it just...
Whenever we have to continue a hearing, which I do remember one continuance.
Yeah, for the floodplain management plan.
We did two continuances, but yeah.
We still held the public hearing, but we continued it on to the next one.
We always allow the public hearing to occur, and then like the last one.
Maybe that's what it was.
To your point, I'll certainly go along. That would be a welcome if we could try and knock some more things out and have an extra meeting. But I don't know with city budget and staff, you know, and their commitments, if that
how
works.
Does that impact?
Truthfully,
so I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll just be honest with you right now to get this stuff turned around in 2 weeks. Because what happens is we meet tonight. We have Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we got to get packets out again.
You don't even have Monday.
Yeah.
Well, no, on a normal week.
On a normal week.
So between meetings, we really only have 5 working days to turn something around to you again. Isn't that right?
And then lots of other things that aren't planning commission.
Yeah. So we really can't probably, I mean, part of the transportation stuff is in those 5 days, this is not the only thing on our plate. So
would it be acceptable if it's on a document that you've already prepared that we have yet to get through? We could have a special meeting then to go through those same edits that we didn't complete. And maybe that just gets us.
Well, maybe that's an as needed basis, though.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's
right.
What we're saying.
So, like,
yeah,
for example, tonight we tabled the other element, but if we
still require staffs.
Yeah.
Attendance and
right.
Participation, which means they're not working on what we just handed them to go back and research and come forward with it.
And more than that, there's a public notice period.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So
there's
I agree.
Well, I think it just has to be posted out front. I don't think
there's a number of days.
I don't think
when I'm listening to comment and understanding that feeling and pressure. Maybe more what it brings to mind to me is as we look at, say, our agenda or docket going out the next 3 months or beyond, that we're saying, well, this is the way things are going to start backing up. Do we want to try and add a session or a length,
or
set ourselves up that we're going to have a longer session at a point in time in the future, an extra session? But again, we always have to be mindful that it's only going to get you so far because staff will still be up against the turnaround time.
Well, our agenda is our agenda, and then there's all the other stuff that comes in that, you know, no one expected. Moon Mansion, the Park Street.
Yeah.
I mean, those things that just consume a lot of time that is planned for something else.
Right.
So.
Yeah. There's a simple thing that I think I brought up before. Personally, it's one of my big beliefs about it. If you're going to put an agenda together, the creator of the agenda should have some understanding of a probable timeline for each topic.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is actually part of our agenda, what it does, it keeps everybody kind of, okay, here's where we are on this.
Right.
If we are talking about something that's not on the agenda that runs way into the timeline, or if we're dragging out something that we anticipate, it allows us to catch it, and maybe at that moment, we table an item on our agenda to the following meeting. And then before we get out of the meeting, we can say, you know what, how big a deal is this? Is it okay to wait 2 months or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. There are lots of times where I feel like, you know, if I could have spent a little more time on that, I totally would grasp the topic or grasp the specifics.
Right.
I have to fall back on my colleagues and staff to say, okay, I'm feeling good, this discussion.
Yeah.
If we had Timekeeper as part of our agenda, that would stop a lot of it.
I guess the vice chair was doing a heck of a lot better job than the chair was.
No, it's not Timekeeper. Timekeeper. I mean, like having it on the agenda.
Well, it's a
but
we do need to keep in mind that yes, we should always be mindful of conservation of time, but in a public process and ensuring that seven commissioners are able to say, you know, I mean, I'm pushing you going 14, 15, 16, right? I'm pushing. In my mind, you may not even be feeling that, but I feel like I'm giving you scant opportunity to speak up at that. And,
no,
and,
you're doing a wonderful
so there
job.
There is a piece of that, and to ensure that we get the public input. I'm not complaining about that at all. I'm just saying there are things we can do to manage our time, and then there are things that is the topic. It is a long document.
I just don't want to dismiss something or end up that, because the con of the time thing is that, like the section of work that Gary did, we had a lot of really great conversation about it.
Right.
And if we kept to, okay, so we're on our 4 minutes for this page,
right,
we could have missed some really good.
Let me point out that the way that works, and I think this is in Roberts, in rules, if we're on a topic that we're running out of time, the timekeeper actually asks us, would you like to buy more time? We actually get permission to buy 5 more minutes for this topic. And we move on, staying on the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's important and we're in the minute.
Right.
You know, just kind of keep this in mind, too. We kind of know what we want, like, have on our plate for the entire year.
Yep.
So far, we feel comfortable. Even if you don't make it through next meeting, the only reason why I'm hoping you do is I won't be at the third meeting. And so there, but we feel confident that if you guys need the time, feel free to take the time. If we're up against a clock because of something you guys aren't aware of, we're going to let you know that, hey, this, you called you,
we
need this done.
We had a few of those last year.
Yeah.
For instance, the floodplain coming up against the
which is a nice segue. Yeah. That's why you have these recycled kind of dirty notebooks on your desk.
But, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, it seems like then if we drag out something, it doesn't get to council in the time that we had hoped, or...
Right.
So then I don't feel like I'm doing my duty of, you know, doing what I need to do to make sure that we're getting these things in front of council in a timely manner.
A couple things. If we're going to get really down into the Robert's Rules of Order and buying time, I think that maybe is just a little bit too formal for us to manage.
Sure.
Number two, staff does a great job as far as the input date, and as Jim was saying, is that we can take longer if we need it. So if we're finding ourselves pressured in those moments like tonight, and everybody, you know, pre-read and stuff like that, then we can feel at liberty to take those moments and say, hey, we still need to digest this and not feel bad about not getting through it during the night. However, if it's a pressing issue, staff makes us aware of it, then we buckle down and we just do it. So adding another meeting time, I don't think logistically is going to work, personally, for all of us. I mean, maybe some of it. But I think things are in place enough that if we just pay attention to it, we have those liberties, so we don't have to feel the pressure. I feel guilty that we're walking out of here as a disservice to
our this is how I felt a lot of times last year, was that we ran out of time on things, and it just
we did accomplish a really, when we took on the overlays, there was a huge task ahead of us. Oh, actually, you weren't. I don't think I'm done commissioning that. The other thing to keep in mind is some of the elements that slowed down the transportation had, which I think some of the citizens felt was maybe more truck town related. It was actually working through the plaza, because our consulting engineers were basically not, you know, not evaluating things we wanted them to evaluate to be able to make it happen, or at least feel like we knew it couldn't happen, one of the two. So we said, we held back and said, okay, hold up, we need to evaluate this, and this. Mm-hmm. So part of that is just sometimes we need more time to plan better plans for you guys, so that can slow us down in that capacity.
So keeping us moving, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
So, Mike, should we be taking these with us?
Those are for you to review
ahead of the next meeting.
We're going
to introduce them.